welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. We will play a little What Can't Adam Complain About coming up. It's good to play early because I'm always, I have the eye of the tiger early. I become bloated and complacent as the show goes on, you know, and I get sort of ambivalent. But in the morning, I'm angry. I'm most fired up.
Nerves are raw.
Yes. Waking up is an attack, really, that takes place every day of your life until you die. And then, ironically, you wish you could wake up that following day after you die, but you don't get to.
Are you like a fighter who knows that, you know, the big bout's coming up, so you stay away from lovemaking to keep the eye of the tiger?
When it's time to complain, to
when
keep
I know,
the chi in.
Yeah, what can Adam complain about? Yeah, when I know it's time to play What Can Adam Complain About, I stay away from my wife. I stay away from my ladies. I stay away from all the gals in my life.
Drink raw eggs.
Well, like Sugar Ray. You got to keep the chi inside.
That's right. I'm a chi tanker truck right now. If I turn over, they're going to have to close down this place. Oh, yes. There's not enough kitty litter in Northern California to mop up the chi that's in me.
It's like an episode of CSI, except that's not blood all over the walls.
I got to say this. Something happened. I know I've brought it up before, but CSI has really gotten me into it because I saw a promo where the guy was handling a human eyeball, just holding up a human eyeball with all the things that are attached to a human eyeball dangling down toward some sort of Petri dish, and the guy, and it's like, tonight on CSI, the eyes have it. And he's staring at a bloody human eyeball. I'm sure they used a cow eyeball, not a human eyeball. It's 7:45 in the evening, and I'm trying to eat some takeout food. Is there any problem with this? There's something that is going on. We talk about it, but this always gets me going. I was watching Dr. 90210, I think it was the other day. And, you know, they got the shaved whatever, and they're putting the incision. They show it. If you watch the entertainment shows, oh, the new three-day plastic surgery, they show the guy taking the lipo suction tube, and he's working it into the abdomen, and he's moving it around vigorously. Or they show him putting the incision in the nose and putting some, you know, vice grips up someone's nostrils in it. And it's like, wow, I have to avert my gaze. That's... I'm simple this way. Either I avert my gaze or I focus a little bit harder.
When I see a little booby, I see a little butthole, I focus. When I see the incisions and the... Whenever I see that thing where they have... where the skin is bathed in that red...
Yeah,
antiseptic stuff. And then I see the Sharpies drawn on it as if they're drawing out, you know, the thing behind the butcher at the market that has all the cuts of beef. When I see that, then I see the scalpel come out. I have to hold my hand up. My wife and I, we're watching 90210. We're both holding our hand up. Oh, whoa. I don't want to see someone getting their nose cut off. I don't care if it's in a surgical environment. I don't want to see the eyeball being held up. The grotesque nature of everything. Now there's all these sort of ER, real ER, Baghdad ER, all these shows. Nudity has not moved an inch in the last 30 years.
Oh, it's gone backwards.
Yes. Benny Hill had more TNA in it, a British show coming to the States here in the early to mid-70s. More titillation on that show than what's going on today, but yet no problemo with the, hey, this guy had his orbital socket crushed and we have to peel off his face in order to take titanium plates. Well, I can't figure that out for the life of me. I can't.
And it's on the rise, too, because the puking on TV is considered to be edgy. I mean, The Sopranos, I think every episode this year, minus maybe one or two, had at least one character vomit. All these reality shows, people with the endurance stuff and the running, they're always stopping to vomit, and yet not a nipple to
see. It is interesting about the nipples and the body. If the body is either dead, as in CSI, or unconscious, as in one of these medical shows, you can show the entire naked body. But if the body's alive and moving, then it's obscene.
We have it, as we do with many things in this society, exactly wrong. We have it 180, we're 180 degrees off. Yes, you take Survivor, for instance. A few seasons ago, they had a competition Let's see if I can hold my coffee down and discuss this simultaneously. They had a competition where they had two big hanging slabs of beef. And you had to have your hands tied behind your back. And each tribe had to pull off as much beef as they possibly could with their mouth and spit it into a onto a scale. And the one that was able to pull off the most beef at the end of the thing won the competition, hands tied behind their back. So sort of like a pie-eating contest, but it's not cherry pie filling. It's blood that you're seeing. Each person had their face buried in this bloody beef, and at a certain point, when the guy opened his mouth, he had a tendon or something that was stuck to his tooth, and the beef was dangling off his mouth. He couldn't drop it onto the scale, so his buddy sort of French kissed him, pulled the beef off of his mouth, and dropped it onto the scale. They ended up winning. I had to have my hand held up during almost the entire episode. Yet, in the same episode, later on, if one of the hotties was getting up off the sand and heading into the water and had a little crack exposed, they would tile that out. Now, when you're sane, that stuff is insulting. I mean, it's not just, I feel like an alien who's trapped on some planet that I shouldn't be on. I'm sizing things up, and I can't effing figure it out. I just can't. And I think to myself, is it the majority of people watching Survivor who are offended by the ass crack? Do you really think this is the majority speaking? Is this the lion's share of the people watching this show want to watch this person eat some ground slug and then vomit it up? And on Survivor's the worst, when they have those eating competitions and they pull some huge slug out the size of your thumb and it's still alive and the chick's putting it in her mouth, she's going, and the guy's yelling, hold it back, and then all of a sudden you just show her turn her back to camera and vomit come out between her legs. That's okay on the offensive meter.
Don't cry.
That's fine.
Well, it seems like
that's fine. But the boobies and the areolas, not the nipple, the areola. Little areola peaks out. You could have 9-inch areolas like Breska if 1 millimeter peaked out of the side of your bikini top during the Pataka battle on the log when you're duking it out with the Kubapi tribe. Nope, that's got to be tiled out very carefully. There are people who must have to comb over that and just tile out every ounce of ass crack and every little piece of booby. But yet, all the vomiting, all the ingesting of putrid mess, no problemo. How does that work? Who made this decision? Where are they? And what can we do to them? I really feel like this is the religious right that has just run roughshod over this entire country. I really believe that if you took 100 sane, normal, rational, educated people and asked them if they were either offended by this or offended by that, or which one would they rather see when they were sitting down to eat their meal, I got to believe that at least 90-something of them would be on our side, and that 5% that weren't were just religious nut Fs anyway.
Yes, what are they afraid of? I mean, if this all started with Janet Jackson's nipple, which it did, I'm confused because when I saw that, I really thought, I know I'm supposed to be offended, but I don't know what by. I'm way more offended by Grizzle and someone's
kids. There's kids watching this game. Meanwhile, if somebody had a compound fracture of the tibia, they would show it 15 different times from 30 different angles.
And by the way, what about Darwinism? You know, shouldn't we, about 500-600 years ago, didn't our forefathers stomach looking at a combination of both the nauseating and the nude stuff with these fat broads that are represented in every painting from 500 years ago? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we be able to stomach a good-looking nipple now?
It's how we live when we're babies. That's where we get our life.
I have no idea, but I cannot take any more human flesh being cut into on television. It is now, it falls under the heading of educational somehow, and I can't take it anymore. I can't take any more CSI eyeballs being pulled out. I can't take any more Dr. 90210 being cut into. I can't take any more Fear Factor where they have a huge pie tin of whale sperm and you're going to bury your face into it and pick out the crawdads that died a week earlier and have maggots on them and see if you can hold those down. Yes, it is grotesque. That's why you're having the competition. The reason you're filming this competition is it's grotesque and it's grossing me out to watch this be perpetrated on another human being.
Well, let's do that pig thing. I mean, that eating the raw cow thing
right.
to the terrorists in these undisclosed places to the terrorists, but make them do it with a pig.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the worst for them.
That's why you need to get into politics.
Thank yeah. you.
All right. The more you know. Yes. Thank you. We need to take a break. We are going to play What Can't Adam Complain About when we come back.
We're off to a good start.
Fired up, yes. You call in. You give us your topic. Throw something out. Challenge me. I will figure out a way to complain about it. And I got to be honest. Sometimes the topic will not be the main thing I complain about, but something attached to the topic. Do you know what I'm saying? You may talk about travel. I may talk about luggage. Mm. Just, sure. You may talk about cars. I may talk about gas prices. Just as long as it's in the neighborhood, I think I get a pass, you know, and creative license, they call it. Anyway, 866-901-ADAM, you call in and we'll do What Can't Adam Complain About after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to play What Can't Adam Complain About? You give him a topic, and he'll complain about it.
I got one good one for you. I'm an enthusiast, I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
Dobson 510.
It's no good for the ladies. You tell people, guess who's sporting the Dobson 510? They're not interested. That does not moisten the panties. Look at T. She's got a puss on just hearing the word Dobson.
Dry as a bone.
Nice car if you're into schlong.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Let's get back to it. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, what can Adam complain about? I got my bell here. Yes. You call in, you give me a topic. I blow through the topics and figure out an angle to complain about them. It's called What Can Adam Complain About?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Joshua. Topic, please, Josh.
Electricity, Adam.
Electricity.
Yes, sir.
Well, I got to say, we've had a long summer. It's been very hot. It's been dry. There's been the wind blowing out of the Santa Anas, and I will skip my rope with the window open and the wind blowing. I go for about a half hour, and then I throw the rope down, and I go to pick up something. I think I touched a metal weight, and a bolt of lightning shot from my finger. Because electricity is not only your best friend, it can be your worst enemy, my friend. I don't think yes, they sir. Need to put worst in front of enemy, by the way. Just say enemy. I'll do the math. We're not hanging out. Point is it's a killer. Ask any lineman that's given his life up on that pole. Ask any felon that's been brought to the electric chair. Or ask the ace man himself after skipping the rope or shuffling the feet along the carpet. I've been shocked 300 or 400 times this year. I don't know what's going on this year. It's been particularly staticky. But the feet shuffle along the carpet, and then you reach for the doorknob, and pow, zap. Gotten a few in the automobile as well.
Yeah, the car door.
Let me tell you this about the car door. It is a very slippery slope, and you cannot run fast enough because right now, static shot goes from the finger, hits the car door, travels along the car door, hits the fuel line, boom. You go off like a Roman candle. That's right. I say we go back to gas-powered lights. That's the ace, man. Before someone gets killed. Let's see. Let's keep moving here. Anthony.
Adam.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing, my friend?
Good. What's your topic?
My topic is turning left on the red arrow when no one is in sight.
Mm. Well, it's liberating, but also it's nerve-wracking because technically you're breaking the law. I do it 5-6 times a day. I beg. I beg all of those who are not pusses. Now, mind you, if you're a puss, you'll do what the man tells you to do. You understand? You will bow down to the man. You will listen to some bureaucrat with a GED who makes 50 grand a year, who's pushing pencils for a living. And on the take, you'll listen to that puss. That's the head puss. That's your master. Do you understand, pussies? That's your master. They pull the strings, and you're a little puss puppet. So if you're a puss puppet, tune out. Don't listen to what I have to say, because this is not for the pussies in the audience. This is not for the weak of heart. This is not for the one who caves to the man. You guys, turn off your radio. Turn to Mark and Brian. Go wherever the pusses go. Don't come here, because now I have to talk to the men. I have to talk to the men that, yes, have penises and vaginas. There's men out there with vaginas. I'm talking about the heroes. I'm talking about the pioneers. I'm talking about the tips of the spear. Not the pusses in the rear with the gear, but the guys at point. If you're one of those people, then you'll listen to me. You will stop at this red arrow. When the signal is green, you will look left, right, then left again, and then take a little peek in your rear view. Make sure Johnny Law's not back there, and then you turn. Why? Because you're an American. Why? Because you have a brain. Why? Because you're a human being who's able to control your own thoughts, feelings, and motor skills. Again, pusses, not need apply. But if you're a man, you'll do it. I've been doing it for 6 years. 6 goddamn years I've been driving through those goddamn left turn red arrows. No problemo. Haven't collided with a tanker truck. Haven't run over any Mexican kids running across the street. Have not had any problems. Only problem is I get to my destination just a little bit faster than you puss puppets do.
But you say that you feel fear when you do it, and isn't that really the definition of bravery, to overcome yes.
That's
fear
right.
And do something
That's
bold.
Right. That's right.
Courage.
I look fear in the face by looking into the rearview mirror and see if the man is behind me, and when I don't smell bacon, then it's a left turn I'm making.
That's how I roll.
There's what needs to go on your bumper sticker. You don't smell bacon, then a left turn you're taking. Signal green, arrow red, and no headlights anywhere in the future. Why is that? Why is it more dangerous to turn at that intersection than the intersection beforehand with no arrow where you just turned? Why is it? And what are we doing in this city? Really, what are we doing? I'm sorry, I'm fired up, but look, everybody, if everybody would just do it, there wouldn't be a goddamn thing they could do about it. Please, let's wrestle our country back from the pusses who pull the strings. You understand, this country is run by two people. It is attorneys and it's pussy politicians who are in their pockets. That's why there's a warning sticker that is hot glued to every cigarette lighter and every eye shade, every sunshade, and every automobile has one of these things. There's a sticker on everything. There's a buzzer that goes off everywhere. And if there's ever a question between slowing you down and making a stupid person safe, they're going to make the stupid person safe, and they're going to slow down society until we grind to a halt. Look, it's time to wrestle back our streets from the retards who make horrible laws. Do not do it. Just drive through it. Don't do it. Drive through it. Left turns all the way. I can't. I've been talking about it on this show for almost a year. I talked about it on Loveline for 5 years. I haven't got a ticket yet. Please do it, you pussies. It's easy. Just do it. Just do it. You'll not get a ticket.
So that's your complaint, is that not everybody's doing it?
That's my complaint. You guys are lemmings. And I got to tell you the worst. The worst is the person that is so pee-whipped by the man that he doesn't even know what I'm talking about. I tell people this all the time. I drive through the left turn. What do you mean? Well, you know when the signal is green, but the arrow's red and there's no cars coming? Well, the arrow's to alleviate traffic. Yeah, I know. Then it turns red for no good reason. There's no cars coming. And why am I sitting there waiting to get T-boned by a drunk driver? Well, geez, I haven't noticed that. You haven't noticed that? You live in Los Angeles. You've been driving for 5 years in Los Angeles. I know they turn green, during traffic, peak traffic hours. And then eventually they settle with this one. Well, I guess there's a reason. Wow. You must then put a gun underneath your chin and pull the trigger at that point when you just decide that the man must have a good reason for raping his citizens. Oh, you sicken me. All of you. Let's push forward here. Sorry. Took a little detour there down Rant Road. Mark, you ever been down Rant Road?
Yeah, there's no left turn signal on Rant Road.
Oh, you got to... Mark.
I want to talk about that now, Ace, man.
What's happening?
Good morning.
Good morning,
Teresa.
Good morning.
Adam, how can you complain about these cool, autumn, brisk mornings? Wake up,
brisk 50 degrees, aroma of chimneys.
The smell of the burning wood.
I can smell it right now, Adam.
I love that. I'll tell you, I can't complain about that, but what I can complain about is we're in now October. I ate breakfast after the show yesterday, stepped out into the parking lot. I was frying, and that's on the west side. It was 90 degrees just on this side. I can't imagine what it was like over in the valley. There were two spiders running around the ceiling of my bedroom this morning at 5 in the A because I realized it's still hot outside. Yes, I love the fall weather. I love the smell of the leaves burning and the guys starting the fires. We don't have that here in Southern California. Or if we do, it keeps getting pushed back a little every year. Seemed like somewhere, you know, a few years back, middle September, football season would start, leaves start changing, starts getting cooler, all that. I've not experienced any of it yet. It was hot yesterday. It was stinky armpit hot yesterday. When that day comes, and it'll come soon, you call back and I won't be able to complain about it. I'll guarantee you that. Shut up. All right, one more.
Maybe he was going to greet me, though.
No.
Let me try that. Mark?
Yes?
Did you want to say hi to Dave?
No, he's a geek.
All right. Well, Dave, I tried. Jeremy?
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's up?
Hey, man, how can you complain about free alcohol and open bars?
Okay. All right. I'll tell you why.
Dig deep.
I'll tell you why. Open bar means a long line at the bar. Lots of guys like Big Tad that are doubling and tripling up on the Jaeger shots that you got to stand behind. People go to the free bar and they're like, give me a Heineken. What do you got on tap? Okay, give me a couple shots. There's a lot of guys who want to load up. They act like they're at the buffet. They don't just get a glass of Chardonnay and head back to their table at the wedding. They will load up and they will hoard the booze, number one. Number two, always a little unclear with the tip and then the payment. Also, the free bar and the free booze, the open bars, they never put a sign there. So there's always a lot of guys reaching for their wallet and the guy explaining to them that it's not necessary. They should figure out a way. You know, like your roommate in college, if you went to college, if you had a roommate, they put a tie on the door. They hang that tie on the doorknob, says they're getting it on with the girlfriend. Some sort of tie arrangement, some sort of flag, maybe one of those orange flags that rental bikes have on them should go up at the bar. Because it's always weird. The guy in front of you is reaching for his wallet, the guy behind you reaches for it. They never quite make it clear. But point is, people get extra boozed up, especially people that don't have a lot of bread. They get extra loaded, and then they get to the wedding, and then it's, hey. Now, they don't say anything to me for the first half of the wedding, but then it's, hey, man, show. Hey, let me get a picture. Then it's their buddy with the camera phone. Then it's them yelling at their buddy, hold the button. Push the button. Hold the button. Hold the button down. What's that, Jeremy?
Then there's extra boozed up women.
Well, that's...
Bridesmaids.
Well, that's true. That's true. If you're single, it's hard to complain about the open bar. But if you're married and have the old lady with you like the Ace Man, I make that distinction, then there's no capitalizing on the free booze. Plus, when something is free that I can now afford, it's no fun anymore. It really is. Yes, I can now afford all the booze my liver can handle. And therefore, when it's free, it just means longer lines. See, there's certain things. For instance, when you have a few ducats in the bank, you wish were more. Like when I fly Burbank to Vegas via Southwest, I wish the tickets weren't $39 round trip because I wouldn't sit next to the fat guy with the mustard stain on his cut-off muscle tee. See what I mean? If they're $139, at least I'd get a guy with a button-up shirt next to me. So there are certain things where you'd actually like them to go up, thin out the riffraff just a little bit. And that's why we play What Can't Adam Complain About?
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thank you.
That was a classic episode. I think it bears repeating that you said, if you're a puss, don't do it. Drive through it. And also, if you smell bacon, then it's a left turn you're not making.
Yeah. Or I flip-flop the two. But either...
Something like that.
Either way, a left turn you'll be making. I speak
there
like a pirate when I'm writing bumper stickers. If you don't smell bacon. Yeah. That's
you are
right.
Smelly pirate hooker.
Well, T-Bear.
Yes.
What's in the news?
Well, a lot of rehab. Robin Williams is out, and he's talking about it. And also, what song is Eric Clapton playing again after many years?
Cocaine?
You'll have to wait.
I shot the sheriff. I want to shoot myself every time I hear that song getting played. Cocaine and I Shot the Sheriff are horrible songs that nobody can ever pipe up and go, wow, that song blows ass. Because Eric Clapton, he's slow hand. He's a great guitar player. And it's some Jimmy Cliff song or some reggae song. So you are the height of square up tight if you say, I don't get it. I think it does. The words don't rhyme. It's slow and it's boring. Then it's like, whoa, man. You go back with your square buddies over to your Republican meeting over there. But both those songs, just for the record, suck ass.
A little more Motherless Children is what you're asking.
Yeah, it's
for,
when yes. I'm a little more Motherless Children, a little less cocaine for the clap man. Take a quick break. Right back after this. Well, we'll get to the news in 1 second, but we have a pastor who says that I'm going to hell.
Oh.
So I need to talk to him.
True.
I hope pastor, you can make left-hand turns there.
Zeb?
Brother, I'm just associate pastor, Reverend. The pastor is Rufus T. Cash. But anyway, brother, yeah, you're going to hell. But the main thing I'm calling about is on love lines, brother. The way you used to say that the people who were religious were I'm a little nervous because you're so evil. But
oh, this is a bogus call. Mm-hmm.
Are you yeah, bogus?
Brother, yes. It's for real, brother.
All right, you're saying,
name the five books of the Bible.
Yeah, he's splitting hairs.
Leviticus.
Hairs.
Yeah.
I got Exodus. Jesus. I got Jesus, brother. And when you got Jesus, that ain't a mental problem, Adam. You try to say it's a mental problem.
All right, hold on. Kyle, can you do a better job of sorting the horrible comedians away from
Kyle,
the actual...
Kyle the hippie is high God. On the weed. He can't tell.
Actual like phone calls that might be interesting.
Bad SNL audition.
All right, Zeb.
Zeb, I mean, that should have given him away.
Come on, Zebediah.
Zebediah.
Brother, I'm down here in Boomer, Georgia. I don't care what you say.
Oh, Georgia.
Because I got Jesus and y'all don't.
All right.
you didn't got Jesus. You can laugh. Y'all guys laughing. Ha, ha, ha. It's a joke. But I got Jesus.
How do you hear us in Georgia?
Brother, I hear you on the internet. And, brother, I just know you're from Love Lines talking all that. And I call local shock jocks and I tell them about Jesus, brother. And you can laugh, ha ha ha. You're over there in L.A. with all them homosexuals. Whatever, brother. It don't matter because I got Jesus right there in my heart.
Well, why can't you name the, Teresa, what you want him to name?
Well, you know, the books of the Bible. It goes to Exodus and then what?
Look, I'm more New Testament.
Oh. That is the New Testament.
Ah, see, Zeb, you've been cold busted. This is like saying you do sports talk radio and somebody says name three teams in the NFC and you can't muster it.
And that woman,
you don't know anything. No, look, come on. It's a bogus call. You know the rules. If I call you out, you got to admit it.
Yeah, he called me out.
It's a bogus call. You don't know anything about the Bible. How can you be a pastor?
How does the Bible start?
In the beginning.
And?
I wish you weren't a liar.
How does it go from there? You're a pastor.
I'm an atheist. I know that part.
I'm an associate pastor.
Oh, I
wish you weren't a liar.
Okay.
All right, Zebediah.
Am I claiming I know everything about the Bible? No.
You should know the first couple of lines.
Okay. Look, come on, Kyle. Let's have these guys be cartoon characters. And let it be known and let it be said that if I see something on the board that says I'm fat or I'm ugly or I'm stupid or I'm not funny or I'm going to hell, I will hop on it immediately.
Almost
Why not?
As fast as if it says, I hate Dave.
No, but if there are two calls on there and one says, I love the show, and the other says, I hate the show, I will always hit the one that says, I hate the show. Just be more interesting, maybe less gratifying spiritually, but more interesting for you, the people that are listening to the show, to hear me argue with someone rather than agree with someone who's heaping praise on the show. Zeb, I would talk to, but not the real deal. All right, T, what's in the news?
Well, this breaking news this morning, North Korea is saying today that it will conduct a nuclear test. They are not saying when the test might occur. And amidst all this, the United States is going to be raising the issue in the UN Security Council later today. Mm-hmm. So, North Korea going to conduct a nuclear test.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm all for the world police stuff. That whole, hey, who makes you the world police? Well, we're sane. That's what makes us the world police. We've dropped more. You know, everyone talks about, oh, well, you guys are the only country in the world that's used a nuclear bomb on anyone. Yeah, it saved several million lives because we would have had to invade Japan, number one. Number two, tough ass. You guys bombed Pearl Harbor. We got the technology before you did. Thus, we're going to use it because you began the horrible war. And if you guys weren't such lunatics, we wouldn't have had to do it. You could have surrendered. We asked you to surrender. You wouldn't do it. You gave every schoolgirl and every farmer a pitchfork and told them to fight it out because the American soldiers would come over there and they would rape and pillage. And so we had to drop a bomb on your ass in order to save your own goddamn lives. That's why we dropped the bomb. Number one. Number two, we've dropped more on our soil than we have on anyone's soil, if you think about it. We've dropped two on foreign soil. We've probably tested 50 or 100 in Nevada. So we've blown up our own country. Technically, we've blown up our own country more than we've blown up others.
In national news, there's more information coming to light about the shooting yesterday in a one-room Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania. Now, a milk truck driver stormed the school. He sent the boys and adults outside. He lined up a dozen girls and opened fire. So far, there are 5 dead, 7 wounded. He killed himself. Now, what we know so far, and it's still a bit mysterious, is that he was acting out in revenge for something that happened 20 years ago when he was a boy. That's what police are saying. No idea what that is. Apparently, he had nothing against the Amish, and he was not himself Amish.
Can I say this? All of you within the sound of my voice that are planning anything horrible like this, that's going to end up with you killing yourself, just kill yourself now. It's going to be easier on your family. You have children. This guy kissed his children, said daddy loved them very much. Then he went and did this, and then ultimately killed himself. If you're planning a crime that involves taking of hostages and getting some money or an airplane to Beirut or whatever it is, knock yourself out. But if you're doing one of these essentially suicide missions where you're just going to go in, take some kids hostage, and then ultimately kill yourself, if that seems like the solution for you, do it at home. For the love of Christ. Again, if you're robbing a jewelry store, if you're robbing a bank, mazel tov. Knock yourself out. Do what you got to do. But if it's one of these things where it's going to end up in suicide and you know it beforehand, then just do it from your own home. Please, save your family some grief.
Seems fair. Now, in entertainment news, as of this week, Eric Clapton is going to be playing this song in concert again. Ugh. As you may know, is a recovering drug addict and alcoholic.
If I was at a Clapton concert, yes, and I heard the first note of this song, I would say to everyone in my aisle, who needs a beer? I'm buying beer. I'm going on a beer run, and I'm going to take a mile-long crap. So I'll be back in about 22, 23 minutes when Slowhand is done with this dirge, and then we can enjoy ourselves with some good music. This song sucks. It always sucked.
Well, the reason he stopped playing it is because he was a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and he felt it sent a bad message. Now he's saying it's more of an anti-drug song because it discusses the reality of what happens when you're on the cocaine.
Yeah. I was checking out old Slowhand with his new wife the other day on 2020 or 48 Hours. They did a retrospective on him and his child and all that stuff. New wife looks to be about 21. Maybe shocking. 19. Yes, he's probably 61 or 2 or something. Fantastic. Great guitar player, though. All right. Well, I don't want to hear this song either. Let's just listen to this song.
I'm sorry. I made Brian do it.
But I swear it wasn't self-defense. Does everyone tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, I know we all smoke a copious amount of weed around here, but I think we should rhyme some of the words in this song.
Well,
it's Sheriff John. He's going to track me down. So I shot him. I shot him down. I didn't shoot the deputy. I did shoot the sheriff. I did it in self-defense. Does anyone want to raise their hand in the Wailers or Jimmy Cliff's band or whoever came up with this horrible song 30 years ago and said, why don't we make one? Why don't we just make one verse rhyme just to kind of get the folks off our back? Is that no one? No.
Well, what you're saying is that this is actually an anti-drug song, because this is the kind of song you write if you're high.
I'm saying that whoever wrote this song who was high should have never picked up a pen, or if they did, they should have stabbed themselves in the eye with it instead of write down this horrible song I've heard 1,000 times. I've heard this song and cocaine 1,000 times. I've never enjoyed 1 second of either one of these songs any of the 1,000 times I've heard it. Does anybody like this? I get the feeling that nobody likes this stuff. We've just had it rammed up our ass from program directors that are high on blow or they're on the take from the record company. I mean, obviously, that's what happened.
I only like the one where you look wonderful tonight. That's a good one.
That's fine. This one was played in the 70s when they used to drop off hookers and cocaine to program directors, and these guys would play these songs. It's called Payola,
you know,
and then it gets under our skin, and then we have to listen to it.
Jack Silver was around then.
We call that the golden era, Ace.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. The salad days.
When you were doing lines of cocaine off a PA's ass.
It's a hot tune. We should play more.
Okay. Now, Robin Williams might have been high during the 70s, but he recently admits that he had a drinking problem. It started acting up, and he was inspired by Mel Gibson going into rehab because he thought, if Mel Gibson can go into rehab, then, you know, if it's good enough for Mel, it's good enough for him. And he actually said this, quote, "If you're violating your standards faster than you can lower them, it's time to go away." Here is a little bit of Robin Williams discussing rehab.
A couple of years of just thinking I can do it on my own, and you can't. That's the bottom line. I can do this. I can stop. And you really think you can, and then you realize I need help. And that's the operative word.
Mm-hmm.
He needs help. He's also got a movie coming out October 13th, so I think we'll be seeing a lot more of him.
I like the idea that you can be yourself on the road.
Look, my thing is if I open a rehab center, you have to do something colossally stupid before you get admitted into my center. There's none of that. You know, I felt like it was creeping up on me. It's not a problem today, but who knows what it's going to be like tomorrow. So I figure I'd nip this one in the bud. Be like, here's the keys to your car. Go roll your van. Then you can come back. I need you to run over some school kid. I need you to call an officer, a Jew or sugar teats or something. You must do something or you can't get in.
Write an email.
It's so empty when guys like, you know, celebrities going to rehab without punching out the paparazzi or throwing a hissy fit in the hotel lobby or something. You know what I mean? Doesn't it feel like empty calories? Robin Williams, so what? He's in rehab. So what? He's out. I want a big blowout on the set. I want something caught on film.
Well, Bobby Brown has had many blowouts, and now a judge is ordering him arrested if he sets foot in Massachusetts. Why? He is delinquent on child support, not from his kid with Whitney Houston. Obviously, the two of them are going through separation, but he has two children from another woman, and he owes this woman $11,000 for the care and feeding of LaPrincia and Bobby Jr.
What was the first one?
LaPrincia. I thought you'd enjoy that. Okay. Now, there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about wedding songs. I don't know, Adam, if you had a wedding song. I assume you may have.
It was cocaine.
Right, that's what I figured. That's a popular one. But mm-hmm. What about...
It was Maneater. Kimmel did make sure we played Maneater at my wedding because he knows how much I hate...
Cruel.
I hate that. God, that song is an attack on any thinking man's intelligence. Whoa, whoa, here she come. Watch out. Talk about cocaine. Talk about payola. That song made it to number one. Of course people were paid off. There's no human being. Play that song for a second.
He's trying.
There's no human being that could just put this on. Just, hey, man, I just listen to the music, and if it sounds good, I play it on my hits radio station. Let me hear this one.
So what, you think, like, the Jack Silvers of this world got some free Dodgers tickets?
Of course all program directors were paid off with huge piles of cocaine. Here are your choices if you're a program director in the 70s. Either you took payola,
right,
or you're clinically insane. It's one or the other. Because if you took the payola, well, that got us Maneater. That got us 40 spins a week with Maneater. If you just played it because you thought this sounded good, then you need to fall on a sword.
Come on, Jack. You must have liked it a little bit.
They let me hang out with Hall and Oates.
So that's what they invited you to the party.
That's really put it over the edge.
Okay. Well, I'm not talking about wedding songs now. I'm talking about yes. I'm sorry. Listen, this is going to cheer you up.
This song, you know, there's songs that sound bad, but who cares? You like them anyway. This song is bad on every single front, on every level. It's horribly constructed. It's horribly conceived. It's horribly executed. It has a retarded, lame-ass message. It sounds like something a couple of closeted gays would come up with if they were pretending to be straight, by the way.
And did come up with.
Wait, are Hall & Oates gay?
I don't know, but if I was gay, I'd write a horrible song like this so people didn't think I was gay, because gays are creative.
So this is actually a beard, because it's so uncreative.
This is the heterosexual dating world through the semen-soaked eyes of a gay man.
The more you know. Okay, listen. Wedding songs.
Whoa, whoa, here she come. This song made it to number one.
It's a subversive gay song. It's trying to tell you women are evil.
That's right.
Stick with the fellas.
Come on over here, fellas. The water's warm.
She'll chew you up.
That's right. Uh-oh. There's so many horrible songs. How come we can't hear some Elvis Costello or some Joe Jackson or some Graham Parker? Do we have to just hear the horrible ass? What is it? What's wrong with our society? Are we all that goddamn stupid that we just love garbage? That this song gets played over and over and over again, yet there's wonderful Elvis Costello songs that never see the light of day. Whoa, and how about the fact that we live in Los Angeles, the second biggest market in probably the world, and yet there's not one radio station that would play an Elvis Costello song in this entire market. Well, anyone ever think about that either?
What is so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Now, quickly, before I let Dave do his sports.
Elvis Costello.
Elvis Costello, great. I love him too. Now, people choose songs to play at funerals. This is a common thing. Just like they have a wedding song, they have a funeral song. They've done a survey of the bereavement register.
Hell is for children.
That's a big one. That's a big one. Here are some of the biggest ones, and I'm going to play you the number one. Now, an Eric Clapton song is actually number eight. Tears in Heaven. It's a big one. With or Without You, you too.
Thong song. That's what I would play.
Candle in the Wind by Elton John. Wind Beneath My Wings, which is also a popular wedding song, I think.
Yeah, it's a funeral of sorts.
This is a really weird one, I think, for a funeral. I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. The number.
Really?
Yes, I swear it's number three.
Only Women Bleed.
Right. And then the number one funeral song. Here it is. And
I'm now we're on track. I'm falling. I'm falling in a 6-foot ditch. Shovel the dirt. Don't soil your skirt. I'm taking a 5,000-year nap. It won't be an open casket. Don't send a fruit basket and bring a sack lunch. 'Cause I'm falling. Oh, I'm falling. Oh, I'm falling in a ditch. All right.
Okay.
Oh, now, that would be excellent.
Now, the number one funeral song is by James Blunt, who you know from that beautiful song, but it's this song.
Goodbye, my lover.
Yeah. Goodbye, lover. My friend. What if it's your son you're burying?
Or your sister.
You have been the one
disturbing.
For me. Goodbye, my lover.
Is he the Hall or Oates goodbye, of our time, this James Blunt character?
And he's on top of that super hot Soviet model chick.
Yeah. I don't know who this guy is, but that voice is
James
ridiculous.
Blunt?
He's the guy who sings the
Your Beautiful song. It was devoted the wussiest song of all time.
It's a retarded song about a guy who goes to a train station and sees some hot chick who he'll never get to talk to and falls in love with her image. Now, because of that, he's on top of that hot model that survived the tsunami. And I would say, too, when you're going out with a hot model, there's always some crazed Eric Roberts type who's her ex, who's floating around, who's puncturing your tires and busting up your car antenna and stuff. This guy got swept away by the tide. You'll not be hearing from him again. I mean, look, as sad as it is, when you're dating a super piping hot chick, that's the way you want it. Because a super piping hot chick always has some ex-beau that she met up with before she became a celebrity who gets drunk and hovers around, who you have to get a restraining order against, so on and so forth. This guy just got taken out to sea. Lucky, lucky man.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
In about 190 minutes or so, playoff baseball begins. American League West champs, the Oakland Athletics, playing the Twins in that ridiculous dome up in Minnesota. Nice pitching matchup. A's Barry Zito versus the Twins, Johan Santana. That's followed up by the St. Louis Cardinals at the San Diego Padres. Another nice pitching matchup. Cardinals, Chris Carpenter versus Jake Peavy. Nightcap is Tigers at the Yankees. Now I think it's time I make my picks for the World Series.
Nice.
It's going to be a classic. It's the New York Yankees. The Murderers Row versus, guess who I said about 2 months ago?
The
they
Dodgers.
Just got into the playoffs. They're going to the World Series. I got to stick with that now.
That would be nice. There's
the
nothing
LA
worse
Dodgers,
than
yes.
when like the Marlins are playing the Expos or something. It just looks like hell. I love to see the old school uniforms, the old school names.
Aesthetically pleasing matchup.
And just the
yes.
old teams. I like, oh, Dodgers, Yankees, you know, game number three. I just love the sound of that.
It was fantastic. And as a matter of fact, in just a moment, I'd like to hear how you thought the whole, you went to a Dodger rally last night.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about that now, in fact.
Uncomfortable.
Really?
Uncomfortable.
Why?
Well, the two folks I make fun of the most on this show, or dig into the most on the show,
Hall
were
and
there.
Oates were there?
Hall and Oates, illegals, and Dodger fans. We're one and the same. But I got to hang out with the Penguin, Ron Say.
Yeah. Oh, I love him.
Steve Garvey was there
the
as
hippo,
well.
Tommy Lasorda.
And Lasorda was not there, but, but was up at the L.A. City Walk up here in Los Angeles, up here in Hollywood, and Universal City Walk. There were several thousand people there all going insane for the Dodgers. You forget how many fans they have in this city. You think L.A.'s not a sports town, and it's not, but there are a ton of Dodger fans
did
in this
you
city.
Did you share your thoughts about how you think the baseball season is way too long with them?
No, I. You know what?
That
I played that one close to the vest. I did not want to be
good
dismembered
call.
By an angry
but
crowd.
What was the uncomfortable part?
The uncomfortable part was hearing all the horrible things I've said about baseball echoing in my head and my long-winded speech about putting up a fence along Mexico as I stared out into the sea of Dodger caps on brown heads.
Well, I'm with those people who came down on you for bad-mouthing the sport of baseball. But it is the best time of the year for sports fans. Along with playoff baseball, we've got NFL, college football, NHL starts tomorrow, and NBA training camps open up later this week. Always fun to hear from Miami Heat star Shaq Fu O'Neal. He's not happy that the league has swapped out the traditional leather basketball for a new one with what I can only imagine are space-age polymers. Here's what Shaq Fu has to say about the new ball.
I think the new ball is terrible. To change it now, whoever that person is, he needs their college degree revoked. You know, it feels like one of those cheap balls that you buy at the toy store, indoor outdoor balls. I look for shooting percentages to be way down and turnovers to be way up.
Shooting percentages to be way down. He must have been shooting free throws with this his entire career.
Hey.
And is it possible if he hasn't, is he going, is his free throw percentage going to be like minus 72% or something this year?
Listen, Stockton could go higher than him from the free throw line with a medicine ball.
True.
How you can't go down from zero.
Shaq Fu refuses to do the underhand because he thinks it'll make him look sissified, but
right.
I think it'd be really cool if he was doing the underhand move. Yes, a giant?
If he turned his back to the hoop and did the thing where he throws it like he's playing horse, his percentage wouldn't be any worse.
Last night, Monday Night Football, the Eagles bludgeoned the Packers. I've noticed that there's a very strange, there's some gay overtones emerging in some of the football coverage. It started with John Madden doing a lot of talk about in the exhibition season, talking about hitting the A-hole and stuff like that. He was describing that. Not the B-hole. You gotta, if you're the running back, you gotta take it right up the A-hole there.
That's
and
a
like that.
Song.
And then there's a segment now with the ESPN commentators called Jacked Up. Now listen to the gay overtones in this.
Jacked Up, powered by DLP.
I tell you what, who can jack people up?
Jacked Up! He's gonna get jacked up by his own teammate, but he did get jacked up!
Well, it's hard when you get hit hard.
Jacked Up!
Did you see Ray Lewis right there?
That was a shame. Anyway, so you get the point.
No, I understand.
You get the point. You get the point that, you know, constant talking about guys jacking other guys up and this and that.
Yeah, a-hole. Yeah, no, right. I agree. Also, I noticed some of the Packers fans, you know, the Packers normally wearing the cheese on top of the head. Saw some of the Packers wearing a big plastic square fudge.
on top of their head. Yeah, wow. I think that,
they're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah, yes. I guess they're advertising
Speaking
at that point.
Speaking of which,
yes.
I mean, I don't know why this trend. Now, Fox's coverage has picked up on the gay theme, too. They've trumped even the jacked up segment. Now listen to their new one.
Oh, wait a minute.
Did you see Ray Lewis right there? Tell you what, Sam. That's where the penis meets the anus. Wang, wang, wang. I like cock. It's bonerific.
Bonerific.
Yeah, it really is homoerotic.
It's filthy is what
it
is.
It really is. They crossed the line.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Bill, we ought to get you, Bill the Gay Board Off. We ought to get you one of those fudge head hats. When you go to Wisconsin, you can wear that. Yeah, and it just says Go Packers on the back of it.
I got a Green Bay one that's almost that color brown right now.
All right.
I don't want to know how it got that way.
Little spray paint and a bedazzler away from really making a statement with that baby. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. A topic. Now, this is a Clapton song, right? Is this a Clapton? Who is this?
What is it?
It's On the Main Line.
Is this Clapton?
Yes,
Clapton. All right. Now, this would fall under the acceptable
this
in the play
is good
set
Clapton.
For Slow Hand, yes. When we come back, I want to talk about massages. I got a massage over the weekend. I did not get an erection, nor did I break wind, but it is something I bring into that room every time I get a massage. I think to myself, please do not break wind, and please do not cop a boner. And I talked to some guys about this at a bachelor party some weeks back, and 80% of the guys I spoke to mentioned, oh, yes, they did get an erection. How could they not? You lie on your belly, you're naked, you get covered with oil, and somebody needs your hindquarters, especially if it's a woman. When you flip over, there will be an erection. And I said, well, isn't that embarrassing? And they said, meh. No big deal. I would be humiliated if I turned over. There's nothing to hold you back. You're not even wearing a towel at that point. You're wearing a sheet. I would like to hear from you. If you're masseur, I'd like to hear some of your stories. I want to know if you break wind. I want to know if you get an erection. Another thing, too, is most guys on any given hour on a Saturday night between 7 and 8 will break a couple of toots. And now your viscera is being kneaded. And in no uncertain terms, I'm assuming a little wind is going to pass as well. Who's done both?
Wow.
Or hit the trifecta.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. You do the math. 866-901-ADAM. I want to hear your stories. I had a friend who, that was at a chiropractor. The guy put his thumb in his behind.
Maybe he was adjusting something in there.
He says he was.
What?
Yes. Still traumatized, you know the man. We'll take a quick break. 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your stories at the massage parlor after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 38, from the Pride of the Yankees.
Today I consider myself the luckiest man in the face in the air.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, probably at my house as we speak, eating something.
Maybe he's making a sound, trying to get in touch with his wife.
The new thing is Olga. That's the sound he makes to call his wife. Olga, my nanny, and him are thick as thieves.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Now, give me a picture.
They love cooking and they love talking.
Where's Olga from?
Uh-oh. Olga yelled at me when I said she was from Mexico.
Is she Guatemalan?
Guatemalan.
Okay.
I told her, you got to understand, for the blue-eyed devil, no difference between Mexico and Guatemala. If anything, a little worse.
So Olga and Ozzy.
Mexico would be a step up. That's an insult to your country, by the way. Like, why don't you have some pride and say you're from Mexico? You should kill yourself as a country when people are trying to put you into Mexico because they're trying to be kind. Yes, Guatemala. I don't know what goes on in Guatemala. All I know is when Guatemalans try to get to Mexico, Mexico's got too much dignity to accept them. That's trouble. That's a bad sign for your country.
Well, I'm glad Ozzy and Olga have made friends.
Yeah, she's Guatemalan, he's Nicaraguan, and they both love talking S about the Ace Man and eating my grub in the kitchen.
And cooking it.
While on the clock. Anyway, where were we? We're talking about massage. Now, I got a massage on Saturday. I got a gift certificate or something, and I finally hammered the thing over at the Burke Williams. A couple thoughts on the massage. First off, getting a massage is sort of like using chapstick or sunglasses, which is once it's game on, then it's on. You can go your whole life without wearing a pair of sunglasses. You can go your whole life without using some chapstick. Once you pick up the chapstick and start using it, 2 days later, you can't leave the house without it. You need your chapstick. Sunglasses that way, too. You can never put on sunglasses your whole life. If you wore it for 3 days in a row and then you left the house without it, you'd be blinded and have to go back in the house and get it. Massages, same way. You could not get one for the first 30 years of your life like me and never miss it. And then you get one and you're like, whoa. Then the next weekend comes, oh, I need a massage. Oh, I'm tense. So all of a sudden, you've never had it before in your life. Now you need it all the time. This is what happens with the ladies. And, you know, the thing that's ironic about the massages, the people that need it the least get it the most. The kept women who are just sitting home all day watching the telenovelas or, you know, going to the market or whatever, they'll get one once or twice a week. The poor day laborers who are toiling out in the sun with the flathead shovel all day long have never gotten one in their lives. The blue-collar guys, the guys that do all the lifting with their backs, the guys that are stacking the cinder blocks, every guy you see working by the side of the road when you pass in a car. This segment of society is the only segment of society that has never received a massage. There's no guy I ever worked construction with that ever got a massage, yet these guys are on their feet all day long stacking things that are very heavy above their heads. Meanwhile, the old ladies at home watching TV all day has got a sore back from eating bonbons. She, sorry if I sound like I'm from the 50s, she needs a massage every week. So I always laugh heartily when my wife announces she needs a massage because I realize she's been doing nothing but occupying my castle while I'm out busting my ass all day. But once you get them, and then you need them, and it becomes this sort of perpetual cycle. Now, I'm always worried that I'm going to get an erection. I'm always worried that I'm going to break wind. We have some calls here, people with their stories about letting gas fly, getting boners and whatnot. Another thing I want to say about massages is women look at it as a sort of almost a medical. It's almost a medical thing that women need a massage. I try to pass off a lap dance as my own sort of medicinal procedure, not bought. But if you think about the idea that your wife can announce any day of the week, I'm going to go get a massage and leave the house. Whereas if you get busted getting a lap dance at a bachelor party, there may be some trouble when you get home.
Really?
And think about it. Well,
much more intimate, yes.
I got to say my wife is pretty cool about that stuff. But if you go to a bachelor party, your average bachelor party with your average dude, we're going to Vegas, and there's 25 guys that are along for the ride, 20 of them would get a substantial amount of S from the wife when they got home if they found out they'd received a lap dance at the bachelor party. Now, here's a lap dance. A lap dance is you in your jeans with a woman giving a seductive dance, but with a huge bouncer standing next to you with his arms folded who makes sure no shenanigans go on. You basically sitting on your hands. If you try to grab some ass cheek, you'll be asked to leave the club. So it's you basically standing, sitting there like a crash test dummy and having some chick pretend she likes you for one warrant song, perhaps. And I would argue a compressed one as well. Himself laughed at. He's pretending like she's lying. Yes, yes. The lesbian chick who hates her stepdad and hates all men is giving you a thing that's somewhat erotic, even though she never really makes contact with you for 2 minutes and 10 seconds, versus the, hey, sweetie, get naked, lie down on this table for an hour, and let me rub my oily, greasy palms
all
over your intimate parts. I'm bothered that I get crap for the lap dance, and yet this is considered therapy for you. You're naked. I'm wearing what I wore to the bachelor party. I'm wearing jeans, tennis shoes, and a windbreaker. You're naked.
Yeah, and a guy rubs you.
You are naked, and you're going into a dark room with a stranger who's playing a little Yanni and burning a scented candle, and he's going to do his best to keep that sheet tucked in around your ass crack there, but no guarantees, and now he's going to give you a sensual oil massage. He's going to do what you, if you did on your first or second date with your husband, would be considered a coup for the man. He's going to go ahead and do that, and then you can pay him $100, but that's not enough. You got to tip him out as well for rubbing a slimy paws all over you. Now, all I'm saying is listen, ladies, if you can get yourself 50 minutes worth of oily naked rub down, we can get ourselves 2 minutes and 20 seconds worth of bad dancing that's somewhere in the neighborhood of our lap. Can we not?
Seems fair.
It does seem like a trade-off. All right. Anyway, we have some horror stories here. Let's see. Happy endings. I'm going to speak to Nick, who let a massive fart go.
Uh-oh.
Nick?
Yeah?
This is my ultimate nightmare, letting big-time gas go during the massage.
All right. Well, basically, when I go to a lot of massages, and whenever I go, I know, hey, I always go to the bathroom first, I always take a leak and all that, because you don't want it releasing or anything like that. So, you know, I was okay. I went in the massage. I thought it was good. I was trying a new place and here in Phoenix, and I thought that maybe I could get a happy ending and all that. Maybe it was one of those kind of places. And it turned out it wasn't. It was pretty professional. Mm. And the masseuse, some Thai chick named Fafa, she was basically asking me halfway through, do I want my sciatic worked on? I'm like, what's that? I figured it was some kind of sexual thing. So I was like, yeah, you know what? If you're not going to charge me too much extra, you know, go for it. Do whatever you need to. So, I was sitting there on my stomach. She started working the upper part of my thigh up just below my buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
Started work, and she started kneading on my butt and then worked her way into my back. And the whole process took about maybe 10 minutes that she was really punching me pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
You eventually, got her back.
Yeah, eventually, I let out this huge fart.
Yeah, because you're essentially bleeding your system of air, much like a mechanic bleeds the brake lines in the car of any oxygen. This is what you're doing when you're just kneading your guts and your viscera. Obviously, something's going to come out. So what do you say, though? Do you laugh? Do you say, pardon me? How do you address that?
Well, all I could do was basically just kind of cringe almost into a fetal position, trying to hold as much as I could in that I couldn't help it.
That's how I roll.
Right out of me.
There's your tip, Taffy.
Well, there's her not-so-happy ending. I don't know how you suss out the places with the happy ending versus the legitimate places. If you see windows, keep walking, number one. I don't go to any place that has windows. You know, it's not a good club, it's not a good bar, it's not a good massage place if it has windows. So windows, and look for red carpet in the entrance. You see red carpet, there's going to be a happy ending there.
You want to be taken through a series of doors and chambers.
Yes. Yeah, what you don't want to see is, a Buddha Garden and
yes, Rock Garden.
Ansel Adams pictures strewn about the lobby. What you're looking for is a Gohanzit and red carpet.
Yes, $30 candles for sale, no happy ending.
That's right. Okay. Chris?
Yes, hi.
You're a masseuse?
I am, yes.
You say people break wind all the time?
Yeah, in Thai massage, there's actually a movement that's called pushing wind.
Oh, really?
Like if somebody's laying on their back and you bring one of their knees all the way up to their chest.
Yeah, that's a yoga position too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do it passively, but That's pretty successful if you're looking to move somebody in that area.
Well, do you give them a heads up? Or do you just do it and wait till they embarrass themselves?
I guess that would probably be a better way to go about it, to let them know that that it has a name and is known for doing that kind of result.
But people, you say people do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then what about...
Pretty common.
What about the erection when the guys flip over?
You know, I've only seen erection one time, and it was with one client who, like, the boundaries were, like, There may have been a little bit of a misunderstanding if I was going to be a girlfriend or if I was going to be a massage therapist.
I see. But it's only happened one time.
Only one. Well, one time that I noticed, you know, like, I guess that's not my main focus as a therapist when I roll my patient, when I wear my patient.
Well, but how can you avoid it if the guy's not wearing anything but that thin sheet that you guys put over us?
Well, typically, because of the way I was trained, we don't leave our clients just with a sheet. Either you have a heavier blanket over your whole body, or you have just like a double-folded towel over your center. And that kind of takes a little bit of the anxiety away.
That's what I would like. I would like a diaper so I could just defecate. Instead of having the chick play whack-a-mole with the ace man, I just get a diaper.
I wonder if there's a move that makes you poop.
I'm sure there is, Ben. You had an orgasm on the table?
I did.
How did that happen?
In the end, kind of suddenly, but...
It always is.
Sure.
I always have kind of expected it, you know, and fantasized about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think for the amount of times that I do that and get massages, which is pretty regularly, that I would get a lot of erections.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that this time. I flipped over. And it was a, you know, you're kind of casual, not upscale, but, you know, very nice massage place, very professional. And but she started working up the leg
mm-hmm.
on the front side.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts working the quad, and then she sneaks in the inside, the interior.
Mm-hmm. But nothing sexual, just working that area.
Nothing sexual but what I have in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So she starts working into the soft part inside there, and she just about grazed the member.
Mm-hmm.
Just close enough for me to get the idea that it was all going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
You had an orgasm with no actual contact. No contact.
Correct.
No,
correct.
No hand to pud contact.
Yeah, and that's not the worst part.
Oh. What is the worst?
The worst part is...
There's a ceiling fan.
Oh. It was pretty obvious. I mean, for sure, she was sent into a frozen state, okay? Nothing happened for about a full minute. And then she quickly finished up, and I was gone. The next time I go into this place...
You went back?
It's a great place. They had a steam room. And
question is, why did he ever leave? Not did he go back?
There was lots of amenities.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The next time I went back and I was called for my massage to go into the room, and the masseuse saw who I was, she immediately, with like hyperventilating, insisted that I put underwear on.
Oh, man.
At that moment, I knew somebody talked. And as I'm in the room with this woman, who, let's say, was on the masculine side of the feminine population,
mm-hmm.
she started to cry on me.
She started crying while she was giving you a massage?
Yes.
Tears fell on you?
She said she couldn't do it. And I just kept thinking, somebody talked.
And then that made him orgasm again.
Oh.
Well, listen, Ben.
I did get a free visit out of it because she couldn't finish the job.
So that's the policy. If the masseuse cries, you get a free rub.
Ben, I gotta say that if I had a, you know, if my pop gun went off while I was getting a massage, mm-hmm. I wouldn't drive down the street that the massage parlor was on ever
move
again.
To a new city.
I would
yeah.
move to a new city. The fact that you went back to the same place a week later is...
Something's wrong.
Inconceivable, but you went back there, and of course they talked about it.
Yeah.
And the fact that then she then started crying in the middle of your massage is... Yeah. It's golden, is
I mean,
what it is.
Push the envelope a little bit there.
It's precious. I've had... The problem when I get a massage is I, you know, they start you off on the belly. You'll spend 40 minutes on the belly and the last 10 minutes on your back. So there's plenty of boner time. And once in a while, your mind will start running wild, running free. You start drifting in and out of consciousness. And sometimes I'll think, oh, don't get a boner. Do not get a boner. And then I'll think, oh, now you brought it up. Now it's on. Now you're going to think about things. And I start thinking about things. And then I try to block those things with horrible thoughts. I'll think about fish guts in Vietnam, and that'll kill it. And then I realize I paid someone $100 so I could think about Vietnam while they put PAB on my back.
There's got to be a better way.
Let it turn something else.
That's what I keep thinking. Let it turn to something else. So there I am thinking about that poor 11-year-old girl got her clothes burned off by napalm. Napalm running down the streets of Hanoi. And I think to myself, oh, man, what the hell am I doing with my life? Leslie's on the phone. She's a friend of Teresa's. Leslie?
Yes.
Your friend of Teresa's?
I am.
Hey.
Hey, Teresa.
And you're a massage or a masseuse yourself?
I'm a massage therapist, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long to become certified as a massage therapist?
Well, it depends, actually, where you live. Mm-hmm. Here in California, it depends city by city.
Mm-hmm.
Other states, it's licensed by the state. So it can be anywhere from 100 hours to upwards of 1,000 hours.
Well, 100 hours. Seems like 100 hours you could do in a few weeks.
You could.
And get your certification.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this, fellas, in terms of the ladies, because Teresa told us off the air that you met your man when he gave you a massage.
That is correct.
I got to tell you, there's no woman I know who will turn down a massage. They're hooked on a massage.
Mm-hmm.
They can't help it. Now, when you approach a woman sexually, it doesn't work. But when you approach a woman with a massage, it'll work. Like a guy, no matter how good looking a guy is, and no matter how unattractive a woman is, if the woman just says, look, I'll perform oral on you out in the car, every guy's going to go, all right, let's do it.
Sure.
A woman will do the same with a massage. Big Tad could offer one to the Hawaiian Tropic model that's coming in, and she'll gladly accept it. If you're a guy, and you're 18 or 19, and you're flunking out of junior college, and things aren't happening for you, or not,
mm-hmm.
go get yourself licensed. It'll be the best 3 weeks you ever spent in your life. Go somewhere to some city where it just requires the minimum, become a licensed massage therapist, and then you'll have that, and next time you go to a party or for the rest of your life, whenever you meet a woman, yeah, I'm an attorney, but I'm also a licensed massage. Boom, bra off. Bra off,
it worked,
brother.
It worked for you, but she had an appointment at a salon.
I did have an appointment.
Mm-hmm. And then how did he get your number?
Well, they used to encourage the massage therapist to follow up with their clients and try and rebook.
Uh-huh.
So Lee thought, I'd like to rebook in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So he called to check in on me and ask me out.
How much money do you make? It seems like as far as training to money made, this is a pretty good gig. If it can take you 3 weeks or a month.
Not really. Not really. Anyone who comes in, because I also teach massage,
mm-hmm.
and thinks they're going to get rich. You know, they're there for the wrong reason.
Well, but let me, I don't want to cut you off, but let me explain. You don't need a college degree to do this.
Right.
You don't need a high school diploma. Most guys or girls that just graduated high school with a D average like I did and are going out into the workforce because they're not going to college and their uncle doesn't own some business they can get kissed into are looking at minimum wage. Or at best, $9, $10 an hour. Now, what would you make an hour approximately as a massage therapist?
Well, it depends if you're working for yourself or if you're working for someone else. Let's say they go work for someone else, like a chiropractor or a spa or something.
Mm-hmm.
They might make $25 per massage. But the thing is, Adam,
but then they get a tip.
Maybe.
Some people stiff you?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of stiff, Jason got a boner on line four over here. If you go to work at Burke Williams,
you're going to get a tip.
You're going to get $20. So you make $25 an hour.
But
and
you're
then,
not going to work 40 hours a week.
All right, but just hear me out, toots. Jesus Christ.
I'm back
what kind of friends you have, Teresa? Point is you're making $25 an hour, plus you're getting a 20, 15, 20, sometimes more,
mm-hmm.
dollar tip,
mm-hmm.
you're now making $45, $50 an hour for a month's work of whatever in a high school equivalency. That is a ton more. I mean, you're making as much as a CPA or a junior attorney at a law firm at that point, and you have a month's worth of training.
But what about all the gas and boners you have to put up with?
I have a question for Leslie, as a matter of fact. Has your husband now since told you that when he massaged you the first time he was doing the massage, did he get a boner?
Mm.
I don't know. He did tell me that he couldn't believe he was getting paid to do this.
Do you find, you ever hear stories or have you yourself ever become aroused while doing the massage?
Hmm.
Let's let's say there's a really good-looking guy who comes in, or a guy you're just personally attracted to, and the next thing you know, you're rubbing your hands all over him.
I would say it's a pleasant experience, but it sort of stops there.
Hmm. Well, then that means by the transitive property, if it's a pleasant experience for a woman, the male masseuses, when they're doing a hot lady, they get aroused.
Yes,
I'm
you,
sure that's
you
right.
See. Well, you see these women go to their bachelorette parties. We're going to Vegas. We're going to go out partying. And the next day, we're going to the spa. And it's some hot 25-year-old chick with her hot 25-year-old friends. And they're all heading to the spa the next day. Of course, if you're a guy and these girls, you see these girls come into the waiting room of the spa. It's the, game on.
And the girl's like on the table. She's like, wow, this masseuse is awesome. It's like he has three arms. I mean, like, I do, baby.
That's right. And a hairy water bottle. Hey, Leslie.
Yeah.
Thanks for your input. Tell us your worst story before we let you go.
Oh, my worst story.
Yes.
I'm pretty lucky. I have really pretty great clients.
Ever have a zit explode on a back?
I've never had a zit explode on a back, but I did have a client who was a drooler. And I tend to work barefoot, so I would have to work around the drool puddles. But I thought it was a little bit like belching in a Chinese restaurant, you know? Mm-hmm. It was ultimate compliment.
It's tip of the hat, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The drool wasn't coming out of the middle of the table, was it?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I checked.
I'd have to talk to you about that. All right, Leslie.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. We need to... ran a fake ass. All right. We're out of time.
Oh.
I love this topic, though. I really do feel like there are no questions asked at all when your lady wants to go get a massage. Yet, if you go to a strip club, even if you don't get a lap dance, there's trouble. That's our therapy. Do you hear me? That's what we do to relax. And doesn't cost as much as what you guys are doing. And the tip part. I never did cover that tip part. It's $110 for 50 minutes.
You leave 20%.
Right. But if you go to Burke Williams, the spa is making $85. The masseuse is making $25. We have to then pay the masseuse again? How about the spa make $50 and you give the masseuse $60 or however you guys want to hash it out? Either way, it's $110 for 50 minutes. More money must be paid after that? It's the greatest scam in the world. My wife does that all the time. Well, we got to tip them out. How come? Well, that's how they make their money. Well, why don't they get it from the spa? They don't pay them. Well, isn't that kind of between them and the guy who's getting my $110 for the 50 minutes?
That's why you got to tip out your hookers, too, because the pimp's taking too much
action.
That's
right.
All right. I think we will take a few more calls on this topic since it seems to have lit up the phone line. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with... more of your boner stories after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where we're talking massage etiquette. Got a story from the last time you visited the old Rub and Tug? Give us a call, 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
And coming up, Miss Hawaiian Tropic. I'm looking at her brag sheet here. Achievements. This is a little Q&A with her. You know, turn-ons, turn-offs.
Right.
Achievements. Most proud moment was being Miss Street Dance 01. Hip-hop dance competition.
Oh, I'd be proud of that.
Hobbies and interests. Tanning, shopping, the beach.
Tanning is a hobby?
Tanning is our favorite.
Well, you know, any port in a storm. Likes, dislikes. Likes, cars, boats, makeup, perfume, anything pink and sparkly.
Wait a second. Is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Is Supreme Court Justice?
It's like you're interviewing a lapdog. Dislikes, guns, knives, bugs.
Mean people.
Or violence. I don't know why bugs or violence in there. It probably means and violence. Maybe a typo. If you could trade places with anyone, well, there's the Oprah answer in there. If you discovered a new planet, what would you name it? The Rock. She says, just because that's one of my nicknames, one of her nicknames, I guess, and because planets are usually built up of rocks.
That's true. Ace, that's a weird question. I've never heard that. What would you name a planet? What would you name a planet if you had one?
Definitely name it, Corolla Burgerville or something. I'd definitely get my name in on it.
That only makes good sense.
Wouldn't name it after a wrestler.
The Rock.
Because they're made of rock.
So she'll be in here and we'll talk about tanning and sparkly things.
Good.
With her coming. She better be hot with this resume.
She's got to be.
She's
I'm putting pink
be hot.
Sparkly things on my wang right now.
I got to tell you
that. Are you tanning it? Chapping it. Maybe.
Looks like a pecan log from here. I got to tell you, if I read this resume sight unseen, I'd say, oh, this chick, I would definitely have sex with this girl sight unseen. When I hear about pink and sparkly and tanning and being free and sunbathing and that kind of stuff and mean
hating
people
bugs.
And smokers and bugs and stuff, oh, that's a good time.
I gotta rewrite my resume.
Anytime a chick says water skiing, anything, going down to the lake, going down to the river, wakeboarding, anything that involves being in a bikini, if she puts that down as her list of activities, it means she looks smoking hot in that bikini. That's right. No more playing with the boys. I'll tell you that right now. All right, where are we? Yes, we're continuing our topic of massages. Dan?
Yeah. How's
you say,
going?
Say the masseuse made fun of you?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I love the show, man. You guys are great.
Thank you, Dan. Go ahead.
But yeah, no, the young Brazilian hotties would come through and kind of do the pre-workup, and during the entire time, they would sit there and ridicule my body and just kind of, like, make me feel all insecure.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean the pre-workup to the massage?
Well, no, there's these girls who would massage me first, and then the old-school chick would come in. She had nice knockers, though. She had implants. But she was a little bit older, she would come finish me off. It was kind of strange.
You mean the happy ending kind of finish off?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a quick etiquette thing with the, as far as the massage goes. You know when you go into the steam room and you usually go in with a towel on you, but half the guys are nude and the other half are still have their towel wrapped up and are sitting on their towel, but then some let it hang open and let the prodigious sack run free, and others just come in and have it tucked in. I'm never sure which one to do. I don't want to peer up tight. On the other hand, I don't want to get nude if I don't have to. What do when you go into the sauna or you go into the steam room? Do you let the towel open or do you keep it closed?
No, listen, this isn't your home. Who wants to see, particularly the old men that do it, are the really disgusting ones. The old guys that are standing in the locker room after playing around the golf, completely nude except for some flip-flops.
But half the guys that are in that sauna, or especially in the steam room, will be totally naked just sitting
yes,
on the towel.
Yes, it's disgusting.
Women
put
are
that thing
nude.
Away.
You wrap the towel on your head, you let it hang, and then you don't even really know what's going on around you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know...
Yes. You know what's weird is somebody brought up to me, I think it was Jimmy's brother, John Kimmel, brought up to me, it was a very good point. On my bachelor party, we rented a house, and it was at night, and it was cold out, we all just got into the hot tub. We were naked in the hot tub, no girls or anything, in case the old lady's listening. No, it was just me and my gay buddy Ray in the hot tub, and then John got into the hot tub, Jimmy's brother John, but he was wearing trunks. So now it's weird that he's wearing trunks, but we're not, because he kind of seems uptight or square or something. But then it's super gay for him to take the trunks off inside the tub. Just hanging with the boys.
That was a nice time, too, especially that Ray was in there naked and he had ringworm at the time.
What?
Not only was he naked in the tub with the ringworm, who shared a bed with him on his bachelor party. Yes, I shared a bed with my buddy Ray when he had ringworm on my bachelor party.
I once thought I'd be sharing a bed with your buddy Ray, yeah. But
he'd have given you the ringworm.
How did he catch the ringworm?
Who knows? But you dodged a major bullet there. Elizabeth, masseuse farted during massage.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Turnabout.
Yeah, it's fair play, Elizabeth.
Yes, hello.
What's happening?
Oh, man, I got to tell you, it was one of the more mortifying experiences for me.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer a female masseuse just because it, you know, makes me more comfortable. However, this was kind of a discount package type deal. So I get to the salon, and the massage therapist is young and male and fairly attractive, so I'm already like, oh, crap, this is going to suck. What if I get nervous? What if I do something?
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, get going about a half hour into the hour session, and all of a sudden I hear it, and it was not me.
He let it fly, and
he let it fly.
It's about waist. His waist is about where your head is on that massage table, right?
I hope he was working on your feet at the time.
No, he was right to my, like, right arm. But luckily, I was face down because I was hysterical.
I couldn't stop laughing either.
You know what I found? Like, as embarrassing as it would be to fart yourself during a session, it was almost more embarrassing for him to do it.
Oh, yeah, because you have an excuse. You're being worked over. He's just standing there in a clinch position.
Yes.
Yeah, but he was good looking, and it made you a little nervous going in.
Well, yeah.
It's an interesting point. You know, we all want to be surrounded with good-looking people. We hope that the person driving the cab or doing the massage or waiting on us is the waitress, waiter, whatever it is, bartender. We all think it'd be nice if everything was like a Zima commercial and everyone was hot, but a little extra pressure when the person is good-looking. You don't feel like you can yell at them. You feel like you have to sort of fix yourself up a little before you address them. People don't realize when the person's a pig, all the pressure's off. Feel free to yell at them. Feel free to call them stupid. As sad as that is. But if there's a smoking hot chick who's behind the counter who just screwed up your reservations at the hotel or at the car rental place, you can't go, "Hey, listen, do your ears work? Now listen to me." You got to go. You have to soften it up. You have to be friendly. I don't know why, but you just have to. You can't dig into good-looking people, so it is more pressure on you.
No wonder I'm always getting yelled at.
Untrue. Now shut up.
Don't cry. Pull it back.
Kristen?
Yes?
You have a couples massage story?
Yes.
I got this couples massage.
What, you just go next to each other?
We weren't actually having a massage together.
Sensual massage, yes.
It wasn't actually together. It was just at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually on our honeymoon.
And you're in different rooms.
We were in different stalls. It was in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a large open room, but we had stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was, my new husband, we'd only been married 3 days probably, was in the stall next to me. And the entire time, I could hear him moaning. Like, sex moaning. So I couldn't relax. And I asked him about it afterwards. He doesn't remember doing that at all.
Wait. So was he drunk or something?
No, he was just enjoying himself.
So you're trying to relax, and you got to hear from the next stall. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
And he says, "Oh, I was just relaxing. I was just enjoying myself." He doesn't remember making a noise.
Well, I had the couples massage thing once. Somebody got it for me and my wife as some sort of gift many years ago. I think we were in Maui with Kimmel and his wife at the time. And that couples massage thing that everyone thinks is really cool, a sensual couples massage. Yeah, it's great if you want to watch some dude work over your nude wife moments away where you can't get your paws on her. You just lie there and watch some dude just essentially get to third base with the old lady.
Like an episode of HBO's Real Sex or something.
Yes, it is. It's a horrible invention. It is not a great time at all. Massage, great. Get me the gift certificate. I'll take it all day long. The couples massage, sensual massage. You two go and you like get nude. And then they let you hang out for a while. Not sure what you're supposed to be doing. It's kind of, they kind of push you into a room and they're like, "Hey, man, you guys should be getting it on. Yeah, about 7.5 minutes to see what you can cop off your old lady." And then the guy will be coming by to give her a nice goosin' in your presence.
What if it was a female doing the massage? Would that be better?
It's a step in the right direction. Still a little bit confusing. Not sure what you should be doing. Is there a female with you? All in all, it's not a good situation. Speaking of a good situation, I just knocked my coffee over under the board here.
I have to say this, on behalf of people who don't get massages generally, I finally had one, 36 years of life. I finally got one a few months ago, and I didn't get it. I thought it was a weird, it was felt nice, but what, who are these people who get massages like yourself, Ace? Are you the king of Siam? It seems, who are you to have another human being rub you for an hour? It seems so self-indulgent to have another person rub you.
You have no difficulty giving some guy $8 an hour. Uh-oh. There we go. Giving a guy $8 an hour to get up on your roof with a hot mop filled with tar and go over your
entire
roof.
Yeah, but he's not rubbing me like he's my slave or something.
Slave. This person's getting $45 an hour and working in an air-conditioned room that smells of patchouli. The guy who's up on your roof's getting $9 an hour. He's inhaling this tar, and he's baking out in the hot August sun. How dare you? Number one. Number two, what happens is if you're in the business, you'll get gift certificates. That's what happens. People give them to you. You have $150 or $200 worth of gift certificate that's just gathering dust on somebody's desk, and eventually you'll go hammer
it. But don't you feel uncomfortable with another human being's mitts, you know, just like doing that for pay? And it just seems... Like I say, it seems like you're a Roman emperor or something.
As I said, you pay someone one-third that money to go out and mow your lawn out in the hot sun. What's wrong? What's wrong with paying them three times as much? You get their mitts a little.
It's just so subservient to be doing that to people's butts and feet and so on.
Yes, I was just going to say briefly that when that Elizabeth called, I had a recovered memory that I had pushed down where it was not a professional massage, but I was on a second date with a guy and he offered to give me a massage, which I already was a little forward, and he did the thing where he's like, oh, lie down, and then he sat where he straddled. I was on my stomach and he sat and straddled, and he was kind of a straight-laced guy, and I guess that position wasn't good for his viscera, as you would call it. And just about a minute into the massage, a very loud emission.
He let gas go on you? Ass to ass.
On me.
Like buddy breathing.
It was so, it was so horrible that I had forgotten it until this moment.
So if you'd broken wind, you would have let his fart out moments later. He actually passed a fart into you.
Into me. It was so atrocious, I never went out with him again.
Oh, he straddled you and then let one fly.
Body breathing.
And then there was an awkward moment where neither of us knew what to say. And I think he let a moment pass and he said, sorry.
Let it turn to something else.
I tried to let it turn to something else, but it was just atrocious. You can't go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't take that one back.
You cannot unring...
You cannot get that fart back into the hopper. I gotta say, I've given a few massages on dates, and the best piece of acting I've ever done, forget about any skits from the man show, is when I pretend to get tangled up in the bra. You know, while I'm trying to give you a back massage, I actually get my feet tied up. I can't work with this.
I've had this, and they go, let me just take this off so I can give you a better rub.
Right, there's a strap of elastic nylon that goes about 5/8 of an inch thick that goes across the middle of the back. You cannot negotiate that, baby.
Somehow your penis is tangled up in the bra.
Penis tangled up. There's a dolphin tied up in that, baby. I don't know how that got caught in the gill net. This is a disaster. I can't get to your back. I can't get to your back when 1% of it's covered by a wisp of elastic. That's not going to work. We have to undo the bra.
Every guy on earth does that. They need room to work.
Yeah, can't physically negotiate it. All right. We need to take ourselves a little break. Who's up next? Yes, Tariq. He's our hip-hop dating guru. He came in some months back. We fell in love with Tariq. He's streetwise.
He's got a lot of game.
Yes, he is a character. He is in next. He'll give you some dating tips. Not the kind you might get from your friends on the Upper West Side, but the kind you get from the homies in the hood.
Jerron off the hizzle.
They'll also give Jerron some tips. Tariq in next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. If you ever wanted to be a Mac, well, listen up.
In the Mac-ing game, there are 3 degrees of Macs.
When a man becomes first sexually active, he's a first-degree Mac. That brings us to the second-degree Mac. A second-degree Mac, his main objective is to get as many notches under his belt as possible. Now, if a guy makes it to the third-degree level of Mackin', he knows that it's all about quality instead of quantity. He knows that one top-notch woman is better than 30 chicken heads.
Now the author of The Art of Mackin, Player Be Played, and The Mac Within, Tariq Nasheed, on The Adam Carolla Show.
What's happening, Tariq?
What's going on, Pimp Juice?
Good to see you again. Let's say juice, didn't we?
Yeah.
We saw Tariq go, must have been about 4 or 5 months ago, I feel like, on this show. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we enjoyed you so much. and so many people dropped out, that we had you back, Tariq. No.
I'm the pity guest.
No, you were excellent last time we spoke to you because you gave some real-world dating advice. And also, normally dating advice is dispatched from women that are in their 40s, yeah. Chew gum, have an eating disorder, and a schnoz out to here. And you think to yourself, who the hell would date either one of these? Remember the two women that had their rules?
Yes.
I can't think of their names. But
both divorced, I think, now.
One time, me and Kimmel were on Politically Incorrect with those two nutty broads, and they were crying at the end of our verbal exchange. Yes, I like to see a real-world guy, a big man like yourself, a man who's loved and lost, a man who didn't grow up with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Absolutely.
Dispatch some real-world advice.
And speaking of advice for women, I have a book out for women now called Play a Be Played. Mm-hmm. It's the best relationship advice for women trying to be in monogamous relationships. And I have a book coming out in a few months called The Art of Gold Digging. Mm-hmm. It's another book for women. And I tell women, if you're going to get advice on dating and dealing with men, you can't really get advice from another woman. Mm-hmm. Because women are very competitive.
They're the
naturally.
Enemy.
Exactly. So a woman isn't going to put you up on more game to make you outshine her.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk to the quarterback of the opposing team.
Absolutely.
If you want some tips on the game.
Because they're not going to teach you how to make thorough touchdowns.
You send over your own scout.
Exactly.
That's right. That's you, Tariq.
That's
right?
Me. That's me.
And
I'm the John Madden of Mackin.
Well, what would you tell? Usually you don't get too many tennis references from the hip-hop crowd, but what would you tell a young woman these days who is interested in doing a little gold digging?
Number one, it's all about the confidence level that you have, and it's all about digging in the right places. Mm-hmm. And women have to understand the difference between a gold digger and a groupie. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a lot of women who they say they want to be gold diggers, but really they just want to sleep with Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to sleep with Ludacris or somebody, and that's not gold digging. People have to differentiate and understand what is what and which is which.
Right. That's just a sort of notch on your belt, but your bank account doesn't change.
Exactly. You can't go to the phone company and say, hey, I want to pay this bill this month, and I slept with Ludacris. You know what I'm saying? You have some money to give him.
I'll pay you with one of Ludacris's pubes.
I tape it to the phone bill and send it in.
I've tried.
It doesn't work.
No such luck, yes. So how does one get money out of Ludacris? I'm interested.
Well, you don't really get money out of rappers because a lot of rappers don't have as much money as people think. Plus, a lot of rappers and athletes, which is what a lot of women in LA do. They try to go for the athletes and the rappers, and you can't get no money out of an athlete because, number one, they have groupies that's down to do every and anything.
They'll do it for free.
So if you're going to be a gold digger, go for the team owner. You know what I'm saying?
Ah,
that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm. Go with honky, not the thing that rhymes with digger.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
A lot of honkies in here.
You're Mitch Kupchak rather than your Kobe.
Exactly. You go for it.
Smart, yeah. You know what you need to get? I think your best mark is the guy who's rich but who got married to his high school sweetheart. He's a nerd at heart. Maybe he started some sort of computer empire from his mom's garage. He's been married to the same chick for 30 years. He may drive a Bentley, but he's still a nervous high school nerd. That's the guy to extract the money from.
Exactly. And you want to watch the kind of nerds you go for, too, because there's two types of nerds. You have, like, the Bill Gates type, and then you have the what we call evil geniuses. These are the guys, they have a lot of knowledge, they are very smart, but they haven't been able to apply that knowledge properly. Knowledge is like energy, man, and if you don't utilize it in certain outputs, it becomes negative. That's why, you know, like the Frankenstein, this guy was a guy who had no social skills, and basically he created monsters.
Right.
You have guys who have a lot of internet knowledge. They don't have any kind of social skills, so they create computer viruses and send them all over the world for no reason.
Well, where do you find one of these guys? I mean, I'm helping the gold diggers that are out in the audience. Where do you find these guys?
You want to find the good nerds?
Yeah, the good nerds.
Well, what you need to do, go to, like, computer tech shows. Those are good places. Also, good places for potential gold diggers to go to boat shows.
Go to a lot smart.
Poor people do not deal with boats.
It's true.
Exactly. And go to a lot of events by the water. Rich people love water.
You know,
water skiing, jet skiing.
Yes,
you have
disposable income when you're out looking at wakeboards and jet boats and things like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the closer you are to water, like the ocean, the real estate value is higher. Mm. The money is higher. The income bracket is higher.
A dude who has a boat essentially has a floating hotel room with no desk clerk to check in on you. Exactly. I mean, that's the best deal. If you got yourself a boat and you want to do a little cheating on the wife, mm-hmm. the boat's the way to go.
I learned
this from watching The Sopranos, but you get into that baby. First off, I have a rule with my wife. If I'm in international waters, all bets are off.
But just make sure
you're not
with a Scott Peterson on that boat.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful about that, too.
They'll send you down to Davy Jones' locker.
Exactly.
That'd be tough to spend eternity in Davy Jones' locker, because not only are you dead, but you're in a locker.
Yeah.
It's got to smell like old tennis shoes in there, I imagine. So go to the boat show, go to the computer show.
Yes.
But don't go hit up the NBA star who's passing through town.
Absolutely not. You won't get any money.
Now, what about getting pregnant from that guy?
That's like, that hustle was cool in the 90s. That was very big in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
the pregnancy hustle. But now they have rookie symposiums where they have hired speakers that go into these rookie camps and say, hey, look, wear a condom. And they have specific girls that they point these guys out to. Hey, don't mess with this girl, this girl, this girl, because they're known in the industry.
Ah, you mean they actually do a thing where it's like a slideshow and it's like and the Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
And they put the person up there?
They would do that at some symposiums.
NBA licensed condoms give out to the rookies?
Because it got so bad in the 90s, it was like damn near every player, they were having like children out of wedlock and all these paternity suits. And, you know, they want an image for the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They want that squeaky clean image. And you don't want your favorite basketball player doing a McDonald's commercial with 8 illegitimate kids.
Is it true then that the what people say a lot is that Kobe practiced the new art, which is throwing it in the pail.
Yeah.
This is how you avoid the reason he got into all the trouble in Colorado was because he was going through the back door. Is this the way the NBA player goes?
A lot of them do that. A lot of them they just receive oral relations or
That's all outlined in the symposium, Dave.
Right.
Surprise you missed that.
What they do, they tell these guys to flush the condoms when they use them because they tell them specifically to flush the condoms because you have women who will take the condoms out of the garbage cans and
use them
and
attempt to use them to get pregnant.
Absolutely. So it got real deep in the NBA.
I gotta tell you, if I left a woman that I nailed on the road and then came back because I forgot my keys and saw her trying to recycle my spent condom, part of me would feel outraged. Other part would feel quite flattered. Quite flattered. She is trying to stuff some of me back up, or there'd be a part of me that went like, you...
No, to her, that condom is a bag of money. That's what it is.
I gotta tell you, it is the ultimate tip of the hat, though.
Yeah,
I mean, just cosmically.
Better.
All right, we need to take a break. Tariq is here, also known as King Flex.
Yes, sir.
Tariq Nasheed, he's written a few books, also has a website, kingflex.org.
Yes.
He'll dispatch the advice to you, but you're going to have to ask the questions. 866-901-ADAM. If you have any questions about what, Tariq? What would be
anything?
Anything.
Any kind of relationship advice, men. If you want to know where to go to get women, you want to know what to say, you want to know what's the best way to get women, the women to avoid. Women, if you need advice on how to spot cheaters, where to get money, call up.
Tells for cheaters.
Yes, I got.
Oh, that's good.
Oh yeah.
So you will be able to tell us if your man is cheating. You will be able to tell.
Yes,
by this technique.
Yeah,
okay.
Most women want to know that.
We'll do that with Tariq after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 7 on CMT, The Dukes of Hazzard. When the ladies run Hazzard County, Boss Hogg tries to frame Daisy. At 8:30 on Logo, be sure not to watch Transgeneration. Gabby's parents throw her a pre-operation party on the eve of her sexual reassignment surgery. And at 10 p.m. on the Home Shopping Network, definitely don't watch Scrapbooking, a showcase of scrapbooking products. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people tell you what to watch. I'm not that brazen. I'm just going to tell you what not to watch, and then you decide what you like. just as long as it's not any of those shows. I think it started when I was cruising through the internet or cruising through the TiVo and saw Daughter of McLeod. Crime fighter's daughter takes on criminals, and I thought, I will definitely not be watching this. And then a little buzzer went off in my head. Tariq King Flex Nasheed,
what's happening? What's
is
up?
Here.
What's up?
You spoke in front of, did you say Yale?
Yeah,
what Ivy League school were you speaking in front of?
Yeah, I was at Yale. I do schools all the time. I'm going to be at Colgate University on October 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do lectures all the time.
On this topic.
On just dating, relationships, college Mackin, you know, because my books are very big on college campuses.
Oh, they are.
Because that's when Mackin first starts in college. That's when you get your good Mackin year started.
You can go to kingflex.org if you want to find any of the books that Tariq has written.
Yes.
Also, we have some of your calls and some advice to dispatch. Young Jerron is here, I believe.
Yes.
Intern Jerron was here last time. You gave him some advice. I think we have a tape of that. Should we hear that for a second?
Yeah, let's drop that.
Jerron is a nice-looking young chap. He's college-educated.
You just got to have confidence, man. That's the number one aphrodisiac for women.
All right.
Whatever you do, do it with confidence. If you don't have confidence, fake it till you make it. You have to act like you have confidence.
Yeah.
That's a big turn-on for women. Because guys ask me, well, Tariq, what kind of pickup lines can I use? And I can tell you what to say word for word verbatim, but if you don't have confidence to back up your words, you're going to get shut down anyway.
Jerron off the hizzle.
Did you learn anything, Jerron? Since you guys last spoke, Jerron has masturbated 722 times, but not hooked up
well,
with one lady.
He was confident right. while he was doing it.
Sure. He was looking in the mirror, and he was confident. He was looking. The reflection he saw was a confident man as he masturbated into the sink.
Good Lord.
All right. Jerron, what's going on? You're moving out of your grandpa's house soon, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving the hood right now.
Where are you heading?
Over to Miracle Mile, a couple of streets down from here.
So you got a roommate?
Yes, three roommates.
Three roommates
yes.
in a new apartment.
Yes.
So now it's game on with the ladies.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's time.
Tariq, can you help him?
Yeah, so what kind of problems are you running into now?
I can't find a girl.
Okay, then where are you looking?
I'm looking everywhere, going to clubs, looking on MySpace.
Can okay. I give an observation? I've seen Jerron in action. He's incredibly good looking and charming. Sometimes, and you know, maybe Tariq, you can help him out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think he might get a little too cocktailed, and women don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you get a little too tipsy?
Not all the time.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we've seen him in action. He gets loaded, and then he gets a little brazen, and then he crosses the line.
Grand.
And women get freaked out.
A lot of guys
yeah.
do that. A lot of guys get overly intoxicated in order to get confidence. And
right.
You don't need to build
yes.
your confidence up like that, because that makes you belligerent. That makes you go a little bit over the top. So you want to be right there in the middle. You don't want to go over the top. You don't want to be too slow with your game either.
Okay.
You don't need to drink. I've never been drunk a day in my life. Never. Don't drink, don't smoke, nothing. Never did crack. Nothing. And I get women all day. And I teach my students how to get women all day.
But what if you're a little bit nervous and you need something to take the edge off?
Yeah, one drink.
That's where your confidence level should come in. You shouldn't depend on any outside resources, because at the end of the day, it's all about you.
But if you're Jerron and you get shot down five times a day, where do you get the confidence?
Let me tell you something, man. I talk to guys and they look at rejection as is... they're going to just fall out and die.
Mm-hmm.
So what if a woman rejects you? At the end of the day, you're going to be all right. That's not the end all be all of life. Guys are just completely demobilized because of their fear of rejection. And that's my thing. Don't worry about rejection. There's somebody out there for you. There's 4 billion women on the planet. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes.
Jermaine Dupri has Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Julia Roberts had Lyle Lovitz.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying? There's somebody for everybody. A lot of people are mixed matched. It doesn't matter, man. Just put your bid in. You got to campaign. It's like the lottery. You got to play it to win it. You got to be in it to win it. And just put your bid in.
About the same odds for Jerron getting laid. Hey,
exactly.
Jerron, why don't you try to pick up Teresa? We'll do a little role playing.
It won't be the first time.
Okay. Oh.
Hey, well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Jerron.
All right, is that a keg in your pants?
Why?
So sure want to tap that ass.
Oh. Ah. Keg in your pants.
Now, Jerron, don't go out there and get pepper sprayed by no woman, man.
Tariq, that was horrible.
Gotta,
Jerron, I've lost all interest in you.
Drake, where do you even start with an atrocity like that?
Well, we got to get your clothes right. You got to get you comfortable. In your,
what's wrong with my clothes?
He wears flip-flops and sweatpants. Yeah, that's horrible.
No-no. Players don't wear flip-flops. That's a no-no. You never wear flip-flops. You never expose your toes. That's very un-Mac-ish. Players don't wear corduroy pants. We don't wear macrame. We don't wear lace. We don't wear leather pants unless they're baggy. Mm-hmm. Also, we don't wear chokers. We don't wear belly rings. No tongue rings. You just got to keep it real Mac-ish.
Okay.
Nothing that is unisex, in other words. Unisex. All that stuff is women
exactly.
Clothes.
You have to wear distinctively masculine clothing. So it's very important.
We were speaking before we went to break. You said, Tariq, that you could tell if a guy's been cheating. You could tell the woman how to tell if a guy's been cheating. I'm interested in hearing that.
Yeah,
part.
I have in my book, Player Be Played, I talk about the 8 types of cheaters, but I'm going to talk about 4 of them here because it will be here all day. Mm-hmm. There's 4 main type of cheaters. You have the rebellious child cheater. You have the delayed player cheater. You have the cheap her to keep her cheater, mm-hmm. and you have the playing with fire cheater. Mm. Now, the rebellious child cheater, this is the guy who's in a relationship with a domineering woman. Usually the woman is a little older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is like running the relationship. She's telling him what to do, giving him a curfew, belittling him. And she's pretty much the financial breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And he's in the position of a child. They have a mother-child relationship.
Like what me and Jerron will have.
Exactly.
Yes.
So what happens in these mother-child relationships, the guy will rebel like a child, and he will go out and have affairs with different women just to prove a point, just to get back at his dominating significant other.
Now, there are certain cheaters that cheat to get laid, and then there are cheaters who cheat to send a message. Exactly. I find that when women cheat, they do it not because they're, you know, sexually amorous. They do it to send a message, usually a wake-up call to the guy who's been ignoring them. They step out, then they let them find out through some email or phone call or something like that. They don't come out and tell them. They just make sure they don't do a very good job of covering their tracks. The guy finds out and they say, see what happens when you don't pay attention to me? But guys usually cheat just because they're horny, right?
A lot of times it's psychological, too. That's just not it. Guys cheat for the same reason women cheat. Mm-hmm. Some women cheat not because of any kind of revenge or rebellion. A lot of women are just horny like that. Women just want to get theirs. A lot of guys can't wrap themselves around that concept. There's some horny women out there.
I haven't met any. So the first guy who cheats is the rebellious
child cheater.
Second.
Then you have the delayed player. Now, this is the guy who didn't get any play in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The first woman who gave him any play, he was like 18, 19. He said, I'm going to wife this woman up. This is it. I'm never going to get another woman. He gets with this woman.
Mm-hmm. That's Damashek, yeah.
So he wifed up, and then he realized.
And then what happened? He graduated from college. He got him a car. He started to dress better. Now other women are giving him play, and he wants to go through that player stage.
Yes.
And then what happens is that people like to call it a midlife crisis, but it's a delayed player stage. He wants to go out there and see how many women he can get.
Well, there's nothing worse than sort of having an inability to pick up women your whole life, and then all of a sudden you get kissed into this game where, yes, you make some money, you're a professional, and all of a sudden women like you, and Absolutely. You got a ring around your finger, and you can't do anything about it. This is why guys need to take their marriage and push it back until Absolutely. They get it out of their system. Right. And women, you should want the guys to do this too, because all the guys who got married at 19 and now have successful businesses and are 35 are dying to know what it's like to be out there and single
players.
Again.
Big players. Every man without any exception goes through a player stage.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go through a player stage just so he can know that he can get a number of women. He wants to see how many notches he can get on his belt. It's an eagle.
I hope my wife is listening, because I tell her all the time, I got to get laid so I don't cheat on you. And finally, I'm being backed up by an expert here.
Now, did you go through your player stage yet, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I did is, I always did sort of okay, never good enough to really, never up, you know, you always want to do better.
Now,
let's
how old
put it
were you
that
when you
way.
Got married?
I didn't get married until I was 38.
Perfect.
38. Yeah.
Perfect. So I shouldn't even think about getting married until they're 30.
No reason to, especially absolutely. Now that you're off the farm and everyone is living into their 80s.
Exactly.
I mean, look, guys got married when they were 20, 21, when they lived till they were 40, 41. Now that you've doubled that, you should double your... I say the same with the bar mitzvah. I don't know if you've been bar mitzvahed, Tariq. But I'm saying 13, make it 26 now. Because 13's been around for 2,000 years. Make it 26 now. Everyone's living till twice the age.
Exactly.
All right, I want to take some phone calls so people can ask you questions themselves. Let's see. Signs of a cheating woman. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tariq, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, John?
Not much. Yeah, same position. Your situation as the gold digger. I'm the computer guy. I'm unmarried. We have a kid together. We live together. I think things are going on, and I want to get out.
Okay. What do you think is going on?
Well, I just don't trust her. Things she tells me, this and that. What are the signs? Is there a big obvious one? I've got some, being the computer guy, got the spyware out there, a few other things.
Have you checked her MySpace and her emails?
I find little traces, but nothing, big.
Okay, she has her own cell phone?
I got records of that, too.
Okay, are there any unknown numbers on there?
Some known numbers of guys that she talks to, and I know who those guys are. And
Why are you letting your lady talk to other guys?
See, that's the thing. Should I just pop it, get out?
Well, why do you think she's cheating?
I don't know. Probably because that's what I want to do.
I was going to say, sounds like you're cheating.
You're looking for a reason to justify your cheating, John.
No, I'm not cheating, but I definitely...
But you're looking for a reason to justify it. That's what it seems like. It seems like the relationship is going pretty smooth. You want to go out and do your thing, but you don't want to feel guilty about it. So you want to find some dirt on her so you can relieve your guilt.
How do you... where do you come down on private detectives? Because it seems to me that if you pay some guy few hundred bucks, he can figure this out in the course of a weekend.
Yeah, and if you have to do that, just get out. If you got to start spying on your mate and you got to become MacGyver and all this stuff, just leave. It's not even worth that. Relationships aren't about that.
But maybe he's just being paranoid and he's foisting this on her. I mean, maybe she's not cheating.
And if he wants to go out there and do his thing, just do your thing and just be fair about the game.
Do you have kids?
One.
Yeah, they have a kid.
You have a kid together?
Yeah. You should try to work it out on behalf of the child.
I don't even agree with that.
You know?
No.
Shocking. A black man doesn't want to raise his child.
What?
He's not saying not to raise the kid. He's saying they shouldn't stay together for the kid.
White Supremacist Radio will be right back after these.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Welcome to KKK Rock.
I'm sorry. That slipped out.
Yeah.
No, you were saying they shouldn't stay together just for the kid.
Exactly. Take care of your kid, but just don't be in the relationship under the guise of taking care of the kid.
Well, John.
My racist friend. And I remember that Scarface thing you said, too. I didn't forget that either.
Well, look, every number one black movie, Scarface. Every time I see Cribs, they go down to the movie theater, the NBA athlete or the rapper, and there's the big Scarface poster.
But see, what we own up to it. See, white folks, y'all don't own up to your movie. See, every white person.
What's
every
our movie?
Footloose. Every white person in here owns a copy of Footloose.
I do love
it's
Footloose.
The one example of a white person who can dance. I'm sorry, we cling to it with both hands.
And Kevin Bacon's not even a good dancer.
But it is true.
Barely a good
dancer. As a white guy, you only have a handful of white people who do things black people do real well. We have John Stockton.
And Kevin Bacon was one of them.
Kevin Bacon.
Patrick Swayze.
He was as close as you can get.
Yes, and Steve Largent. These are the three white people we cling to and try to weave into every conversation. Steve Largent, hell of a wide receiver. Bacon, he could cut a rug. I'll tell you that right now, Terry. I'll tell you that. He could move. The ladies love them.
Everybody cut
fingers. All right, he's right. We got to take a break. Many more questions for Tariq over here. King Flex, Nasheed.
Yes.
KingFlex.org is where you go to find his advice and his books.
Yes.
We'll be right back with you and your questions after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's a crank call from the Crank Anchor's Vault.
Is this the liquor store?
Yes.
I need to place an order. I need a bottle of gin. I'm going to go with a Beefeater, I think. What's the cheapest vodka you have? These kids don't know the difference.
How old are you, first?
Hablo inglés?
I speak English.
Listen, I need a bottle of tequila.
How old are you, first?
I want the good stuff, too. That's for me.
You can't call in here and order. You gotta come over here, young lady.
No, I want it ready when I get there.
Okay, it's ready. Just come pick it up.
You're gonna have to help me load it on my bike.
Sure, no problem. I'll do that. Just stop by.
I got a lot of people coming over tonight. And listen, can I get a discount? You want to make some money?
I want to make some money.
How much?
How much money? It'll be $100.
Take a walk, pervert. I'll get my alcohol someplace else.
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Tariq King Flex Nasheed.
Yeah.
He's a moyle. We've asked him to come on to the show. he dispatches real life dating advice. We got a lot of people with a lot of calls. I have a lot of questions for Tariq, so I think we should just get to those. Yes. Ryan?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, every time that my girlfriend catches me smoking pot, she always warns me and says, hey, that's the last. It's kind of tough.
Drop the S-bomb.
Yep.
Here's the thing about pot smokers. I'm fine with pot. I think it should be legal. But all the people that smoke tons of it are super stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes you dumb. It's like hitting yourself in the head every morning with a frying pan before you leave for work.
You lose all tactfulness.
Yeah, you guys claim that it doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. That's fine. It should be legal. It should be your prerogative to make yourself stupid, but it makes you stupid. You do stupid things like say the S word on a morning radio show. Mm-hmm. Let me just yell at Ryan a little more. Ryan?
Sorry, my bad.
Okay, brother. How long you been smoking the weed?
About 4 years.
And how often do you smoke it?
Every day. I mean, I'm responsible. I go to school. I got a job. I get good grades. And
Now, how long you been with your girlfriend?
About a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are you tired of her complaining, or are you wondering is she going to finally call your bluff and leave you, or what?
That too, yeah.
Because I think she's going to leave you eventually. She's going to keep bluffing and bluffing and bluffing, and then one day she's just going to get fed up.
She keeps bluffing, you keep puffing, and eventually you guys split up. How does she see you smoking pot or know you're smoking pot? Can't you hide this from her?
Oh, I did, and last time I was with her friends, and they ratted on me. Because some of her family, too, but everything was cool until...
You were smoking weed with her friends and family?
Well, with her cousin, and she, like, never talks to her cousin.
Well, Ryan, do this, man.
Ryan is stupid.
Get you a weed head girl. Why just sneak around and do that?
I was thinking the same thing. Why not just find a girl that likes to be high every day?
Yeah.
That's true.
Not very many hot stoner girls.
Hey, Ryan. Where do you go to school? Because I smell some junior college coming from your direction.
In Valencia.
Chronic junior.
In Valencia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's College Town, USA. I'll tell you, around autumn, band strikes up, leaves start turning in Valencia, and all the tailgating smell of the barbecue come from the tailgate. You're going to junior college, right, Ryan?
What's that?
That's right. You're going to junior college?
Yes.
This is what happens when you smoke. Yeah. Copious amounts of weed. You go to junior college. And please, I've said it many times, stop counting junior college as going to school when you put it on your brag sheet. Hey, man, I'm going to school. I'm working. Junior college is worse than no college. It really is. You're doing nothing but wasting taxpayers' money and your parents' time. Knock it off.
And your girlfriend's time.
You're better off selling the weed you're smoking.
That's right.
There.
The more you know.
Finally, the more you know.
Yana? Your massage therapist?
I am, and I heard all those cracks you guys are making. That's just wrong.
It's a good deal, massage therapy.
Oh, trust me, it is, especially if you love doing massage therapy.
Look, if all... Yes.
Massage therapy usually means escort.
If all the idiots in junior college would drop out of college and learn to be massage therapists, they'd have a much better life. So, Yana, you're a single mom...
Yes.
And you want to know how to meet a good guy?
Yeah. No offense, you guys, but you guys are like total dumbasses.
Why?
Why?
Oh, my gosh. I go out, you know, if I dress up, go out, guys are like all over me like flies on you know what. And I go to the park with my kids, and it's just like, you know, the guys are checking me out every once in a while, but you cannot, you can never meet a decent guy when you're not dressed up looking like, you know, like some hot mama. You can't really meet a decent guy when you're, well, you know, out and about with your kids.
Going
and,
to the clubs is probably not going to work for you. How about your friends? Can your friends set you up, or what about something on the computer, something like that?
A lot of pedophiles like single moms.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm sorry.
How about the computer?
Well, I've tried the computer thing, and I mean, no offense, but I'm just not, I don't know, I'm just not very comfortable meeting a lot of guys on the computer. I'm more of an old-fashioned type person.
Now, how old are you?
I believe at first sight. I'm 28, going on like 40.
28, that means 35.
Yeah, three kids, did you say?
How many kids you have?
Oh, gosh. I have two.
Two kids.
I have a boy and a girl, yeah.
How old are the kids, by the way?
My son will be 8 in December. My daughter just turned 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, in your... Yeah. You had kids at a very young age, basically, and you should have been out there really dating more instead of getting bogged down with two kids, sweetie. Why'd you have kids so young?
Well, I got married at 17.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, I know.
Well, what's her next? What's her best bet now? She doesn't like the computer. I would say friends. Don't you have friends that can set you up?
You got to get the
I do, but you know what? A lot of my friends, they go out. They, you know, they party a lot. I don't really have a lot of friends that are mature, I guess, in that kind of a sense.
All right, let me jump in here for a second, Tariq. I talk to people all the time that do this thing, men and women, whether they're married, whether they have kids or they're divorced or whatever the problem is. They're looking for somebody, and they sound and look like they bit into a bad apple all the time. I go out to clubs, but you know the problem with guys, they're all pigs. I have friends, but those, you know what, they're selfish, and you just, after about after listening to them for 5 minutes, you realize why nobody wants to be with them.
Exactly.
All they do baggage. Is complain. They sound like hell. Yeah, and they have baggage, but the biggest duffel bag they're dragging is their own horrible personality. People people are attracted to people that are having a good time, that are doing what they want to do in life, that aren't complaining and whining and telling you what's wrong with men and what's wrong with society and what's wrong with the club scene. And I'm 28, but I might as well be 128. Nobody wants that. It's a bummer. It's a downer.
It really is. And this woman needs to really work on her personality and just start from scratch. I tell people, when you just had a bogged down life and you've been through battle wounds, you have to start over from scratch. You have to be reborn. It's like going into the army. When you go to the army, they break you down into nothing. They make you leave your friends. They change the way you dress. They change your hairstyle.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yes, mental boot camp.
Or in construction terms, she's a teardown.
That's right. That's right.
Tariq, would you say, though, this woman's 28, she's got an 8-year-old and a whatever else, she should get out of the market of looking for guys her own age. She should go with a guy who's in his 40s who wants a ready-made family, because she's not going to find anybody, any 28-year-old guy who wants that.
Exactly. She needs to get with one of those, like, older computer nerd type of guys. And when you accumulate that much baggage, unfortunately, you have to take it down a notch as far as your dating options. You know what I'm saying? It's sad to say.
Well, I'm just saying, overall, male or female, single or not, kids or not, whatever it is, your personality, are you a good time? You are essentially a storefront. Do we want to go into your store, or do we just keep walking because you got the butcher paper over the thing and the thing that says closed for business?
Exactly.
I want to date a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, not a pink dot.
I want to date a chick that has one of those huge vats filled with the balls I can dive into and roll around. I want to have a good time.
And if a person has that much baggage, your personality has to be extremely winning.
Right.
Yeah, I like what you guys are saying. It's not that she has the kids. It's just that she has kind of a negative vibe.
I can't meet anyone. All guys are pigs. Every time I go to a club, it's always some guy who just wants to get laid. And you start listening to him, and after a few minutes, it dawns on you. Yes, I want to kill myself, and I'm just on the phone.
Kids aren't helping any matter.
Exactly.
No, but I say, take the kids, stack the daughter on the shoulders of the 8-year-old boy, put one of those long trench coats and say, here's my hot college friend who likes to party too. Then later on, when the guy's juiced out of his brains and he thinks he's having a threesome and freaking out because the tall, lanky college friend broke into two pieces and started running in different directions, crying, he's just going to think he's having a bad trip.
That was the best Mr. Belvedere episode ever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to sitcoms where kids got on each other's shoulders, put the trench coat and painted the mustache on and go, hello, I'm Dr. Gooding. I would like entrance to your establishment.
Tariq is wishing we would talk about Footloose again.
No. I like Mr. Belvedere too.
Tariq, King Flex, Nasheed, everybody. Website, kingflex.org. Go on to it. Find his pearls of wisdom. Yes.
Very good advice.
Absolutely.
Solid as Sears. Well, Tariq, we love having you on the show.
I love coming here.
Therefore,
man.
We'll have you back very soon.
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick break. News and sports when we come back. Yes, Brusket? T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, Cindy Sheehan was at a book signing when a melee broke out. We have tape of that. You remember she lost her son in Iraq. And also, what song is Eric Clapton not going to play anymore? And what song would you like played at your very own funeral?
We'll talk about that after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I have a modest portfolio of both money market accounts and traditional stocks.
Oh, you do that just right. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, T.
Yes.
Teresa Strasser.
Yes.
The news, baby doll. The news.
Well, the news today out of North Korea. Apparently, the North Koreans are saying that they are planning to conduct a nuclear test. Why? Quote, U.S. extreme threat of nuclear war. Not saying when they're going to test their nukes, but they're saying that they will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Closer to home in national news.
I say we nuke them.
We nuke them first.
Well, look, here's the deal. We're not the greatest guys in the world, but we don't go around nuking people willy-nilly. I know people bring Japan up in World War II. Best thing we ever did for those folks is drop a couple nukes on them. Otherwise, would have been millions of killed. And by the way, when you start a war with another country and they have a technology that can end the war and drop it on your soil, guess what? That's their prerogative. We did the exact same thing you guys would have done, except for you guys would have done it in Manhattan.
Closer to home, Cindy Sheehan has written a book. It's called Peace Mom, A Mother's Journey Through Heartache to Activism. She was at a book signing. Now, first I'm going to play what she said, and then I'm going to play you kind of the melee. She had a bit of a heckler, but first here's what she had to say.
There's a story I tell in the book, and right after Casey was killed, I saw a Twilight Zone episode where this lady went back in time, and her job was to kill Hitler when he was a baby. And I tell that story, and I even thought, wow, what if I could go back in time and kill George Bush when he was a baby?
Okay.
Look, so she's nuts. I feel bad for her loss, but when your kid signs up for the military, this is what can happen. We've lost sight of this. I'm not saying the war is just. I'm not saying anyone deserves to die. But here's the deal, everybody. When you sign up for the military, it's not just health insurance for life. It's not just $800 a month. It's not just some training as a radio operator. You may, in fact, see combat. This is a chance you take when you volunteer for the military. We've lost sight of that because we really haven't had too much go on over the last 50 years. And so it seems like a free ride for those who can't make it into college. But the reality is when you sign up, there is the chance that you could get killed. And it happens. And it's sad. But don't sign up for the military if you're not ready to take that chance.
Cindy Sheehan saw some combat at her book signing. Let's take a listen.
I'm so sorry for your loss, and I understand you're
don't
right.
Don't be sorry for my loss. Be grateful for my loss, because my loss guarantees the right for you to stay
here.
Oh,
sit down.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm so sorry for you.
I'm proud. And if you think this country doesn't need protection every damn day, you're wrong.
Now, who's doing the yelling there?
Well, it was a heckler. Cindy Sheehan, the woman said, oh, I lost my son, too. Cindy Sheehan said, I'm sorry for your loss. And the woman started screaming at her that their sons had lost their lives for the fight to protect our freedom and for our security. I don't know. It got very ugly. At a book signing, of all places.
Mm.
Okay. In entertainment news, Eric Clapton is back on the road touring. For years and years, he would not play this.
Yeah, that's known as the salad days of rock and roll when he agreed not to play this god-awful song that we've had rammed up our ass for the last 30 years.
Well, Clapton wouldn't play it because he's in recovery from drugs and alcohol.
She don't lie, she don't lie, she don't lie. Did he sit down and write that? And how high was he on the blow when he decided this would be a good idea for a song?
He was high, he was high, he was high.
And is this an old blues song that he's covering? It seems like it is.
He did a lot of that. I'm not sure if this he did not write this song.
Yeah, he did this one, and he did I Shot the Sheriff. Eric, if you're listening, stop covering horrible songs. Let's go ahead and play your own.
Well, he's playing this one again. Yeah. It was written by a guy named J.J. Cale. He's playing this again as an anti-cocaine song. That's the new spin, because it lets you know how bad cocaine really is. Okay, now.
At least this one rhymes.
That's true.
I Shot the Sheriff. Oh. Does anyone, please raise your hand, even if you're in your car. Does anyone need to hear I Shot the Sheriff again? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. I would like to collect all the songs we never need to hear again, pull them out of every radio station, put them in a huge vat, and drag them out into the ocean and send them down to Davy Jones' locker. I do not need to hear I Shot the Sheriff for cocaine ever again.
Okay, so funerals.
I do need to hear the volleyball song.
Uh-oh.
From Top Gun.
Ryan.
I'll tell you that right now. Somebody posted the video on our website. Nothing better than an 80s video.
It is spectacular. Everyone go to adamcarolla.com and check it out.
Thank you for that.
A lot of guys in dolphin shorts and mullets and tank tops and pastel colors playing volleyball in slow motion. Hot stuff.
Let me quickly get to this.
No.
Yes. No. Okay.
He just rhymed Higher and Desire. Listen, all you young songwriters out there that have abandoned Higher and Desire, please. That was a match made in heaven. What happened to that rhyme? You got to see the video. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, the number one funeral song, this according to the bereavement register, is the following. Now I gotta
cut loose. Yeah. This is going to be my song.
According to Tariq, this is the disgrace of all white people. Movie Footloose. No. The number one funeral song is by James Blunt. Here it is.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend.
You're burying your son? Let's start with Goodbye, my lover.
You have been the one for me. Goodbye, my lover.
Kind of makes you want to kill yourself, and then they play it at your funeral.
You have been the one. You have been
okay, I should say quickly that the horrible shooting at the Amish school in Pennsylvania yesterday, it's still a mystery why this guy went in there and killed five people and then himself. There's a news conference, so we'll probably know more tomorrow. I'll have that for you. I'm Teresa Strasser.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
If you're going to shoot up a school, because this is constantly happening now, and kill yourself.
Yes.
Kill yourself before you go to the school.
And just
do it
cut
at
out
home.
That part?
Yes, because you have, this is the legacy. You know, the guy kisses his two kids goodbye at the bus stop, so the news says, tells them he loves them very much, and then heads off to disgrace the family and create what, I you know, my dad missed a couple of Pop Warner football games. I'm still in therapy. I can't imagine where I'd be, how much medication I'd been on if, your pops, wasn't the guy who rounded up all the ladies and shot them? Wasn't that the chap before he killed himself?
It's true. He probably didn't think about the kid's future, because how do you explain, well, where's your dad? He's dead.
What happened? Just please, all you folks that want to kill yourself, don't do it. But if you're planning on shooting up a school and then killing yourself, or shooting your stepkids, or shooting your wife, or shooting the neighbor, shoot yourself first, and then you can consider shooting the kids. That's all I'm saying. The more you know. Do we have my funeral song?
Oh, you've chosen one?
I chose a funeral song. I apparently, even though I've been yelling it to everyone who works here for the last 20 minutes, I'm still the only one who's chosen the song. Not sure what show they're thinking.
They tell me this is it.
They tell me, let's see. This is it. It's a very sad song. Now, here's the deal. It's a song by Dion when he took a little turn. Oh, he got out of his Dion and the Belmonts phase, and he sung a song in the 60s about John Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King. Now, I want my old friend, Abraham. Now, I want this song, but here's what I want.
Yeah.
I want who's ever presiding over the funeral to shove my name in where he says Abraham or Martin or John.
So how's that go?
You know, like maybe Kimmel's doing the eulogy. Well, we just play it like this, you know. It's going and people, tears are flowing. People are there. It sounds something like this.
Adam.
Can you tell me? Then the words all sound great. Where'd he go? He freed a lot of people. He gave us life. He freed a lot of people. The good, like they die young. Yeah.
Get like credit for a lot of stuff you had nothing to do with.
Freeing the
nice.
Slaves. And I might sprinkle the name in just periodically just to give people a heads up who know the song, you know, and know it wasn't. But let's hear it. Let's keep it. Now again, the tears flowing. Wife gonna hammer the insurance check. Here we go.
Adam. Can you tell?
A lot of nodding, some foot tapping, some tears.
Ray throwing poop on you one last time.
He leave a little poop on the casket. If there's one thing I know you'd like right after Jimmy Kimmel's eulogy at your funeral, is Dave Sports. I'm
Tracy
Charleston.
That's
the news.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Russ,
didn't
was
you
tell
the things Adam stood for?
I can't get blamed if there's no sports, Dave. I can't get blamed. I'm doing my best.
And you and me,
I don't know if I can do it. I'm
Dave,
too broken up about
I'm doing
Adam.
My best.
Someday, let me just put my name in one more time.
Okay. Soon, he's gonna be one day
anybody here. See my old friend Adam. Can you tell me? All right. It's a winner. Come on now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
We are now about 59 minutes away from first pitch of the playoff baseball season beginning. American League West champs, the Oakland Athletics playing the Twins in that ridiculous dome up in the Minnesota area. That's followed up by the St. Louis Cardinals at the San Diego Padres, nightcap Tigers at Yankees. It's the best time of the year for any sports fan, along with playoff baseball. We've got NFL, college football, NHL starting tomorrow. NBA training camps underway later on this week. Always fun to hear from Miami Heat superstar Shaq Fu O'Neal. He's not happy because the NBA has swapped out the old leather basketball and replaced it with some new synthetic thing. Here's what he thinks about the whole mess.
I think the new ball is terrible. To change it now, whoever that person is, he needs their college degree revoked. You know, it feels like one of those cheap balls that you buy at the toy store, indoor outdoor balls. I look for shooting percentages to be way down.
Way down? Is it possible for him to shoot from the free throw line worse than he already does?
No.
Atrocious.
Also, it would be he needs his college degree revoked. Right. Not they need that. Sorry. Right. Sorry.
Interesting Shaq. Point. An interesting point. Yes, and I was watching Monday Night Football last night. The Eagles slaughtered the Packers. But ESPN's coverage is getting gayer and gayer by the day, it seems. John Madden in the exhibition season was talking a lot about, hey, the running back's got to hit the A-hole instead of the B-hole, and so on and so forth. That led then to this segment that they did, that all the fellas on the panel do each Monday night called Jacked Up.
Jacked Up, powered by DLP.
I tell you what, who can jack people up?
Jacked Up! He's going to get jacked up by his own teammate, but he did get jacked up.
Well, it's hard when you get hit hard.
Jacked Up!
Football players jacking each other up and this and that. And now, for some reason, Fox's NFL coverage is now not only picked up on it, but is doing what seems to me to be even worse. Listen to their new segment.
Did you see Ray Lewis right there? Tell you what, Sam, that's where the penis meets the anus. Wang, wang, wang. I like cock. It's bonerific.
God, is that
It does
gay?
Have homosexual
it's
overtones,
so gay.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, if you're looking for the antithesis of gay, then we have her next. I know that was silky smooth. Hawaiian Tropic girl, Jessica Rockwell.
Ah.
Sounds like a private detective.
It does.
P.I. And that P don't stand for private, baby. Private parts, maybe. We'll bring her in next on The Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew. On The Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, San Antonio, Texas. A teenager was shot after arguing with another teenager from his apartment complex over tater tots. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, Jessica Rockwell here.
Hello, everyone.
Miss Hawaiian Tropic pageant, which is you're a Hawaiian Tropic girl, yes?
Yes.
And you'll be participating in the pageant, which is going to be hosted by our own Tom Likas. Sure he'll enjoy that. Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Orange County Auto Show. Seems like it's a lot of heat around this Orange County Auto Show. I didn't hear anything about it in years past. I don't know how long this has been going on, but I'm getting an assful of it this year, which I like. Because I love cars. You like cars?
Yes, I do, actually. I love cars.
What do you drive?
I just bought a new Camry hybrid.
Oh, you did?
It. Yes. It's exciting.
Yours and now, a friend of
It does weird things.
The Camry, they got hybrid Camry now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, brand new.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's gas and it's electric.
Uh-huh.
And you get, I don't know, 30 miles to the gallon
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, it gets great gas mileage. And it's just, I'm still learning how to drive it. It does weird stuff. And like turning it on, I have to press a button.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I don't know, it doesn't run, so it doesn't sound like it's the car's on. So it's kind of...
Yeah, it is weird. There's somebody who used to live in my neighborhood that had one of those electric cars. And it really is weird when you see them motoring up the street, no sound coming from them. I imagine many kids will get hit on skateboards now because everything's quiet now. You used to hear cars coming when you're like playing ball in the street and stuff
like that.
They're
going to be a hybrid between dead and alive.
Yeah, they actually warned me about that. They said be careful because people won't hear your car running, so they'll think you're not.
Yeah, you do need to be careful, Jessica. Jessica's a darling little thing.
Beautiful 22-year-old blonde.
Hair, diminutive but bosomy.
That's what I like.
Very bosomy.
Well, thanks.
And it's really as if you and Damashek were cut out of the same cloth, because yes. I'm reading your turn-ons and turn-offs here on your sheet, and nice. hobbies and interests, tanning.
Of course.
Shopping, the beach, being out in the sun. That's you, Dave.
Who doesn't yes. love those things?
Likes and dislikes. You like cars, boats, makeup, perfume, anything mm-hmm. pink and sparkly. But you don't like guns.
Eerie.
You don't like guns, knives, bugs, or
They're
violence.
Scary. Ah!
I'll tell you. Sheck's doppelganger. Your goals, Dave, you've confided in me many times. These are your same goals, too. To create and own a cosmetic fragrance line
yes.
and be a great... Great wife and
spooky.
Mother.
This is getting, and I mean, the cap it all off, favorite movie, Dirty Dancing.
You
I
like
mean,
that movie
is
too? Do you really like that movie?
I love it. I adore it.
What's your favorite scene, lying? Dave?
Well, I've said it many times before. I like it when Orbach, you know, when Jerry Orbach, the late great, you know, he makes amends. He says, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. That's the way I live my life, too.
I'll tell you another way you live your life. Here's a question. If a car was designed around your personality, what would it be called? Pink Sparkles.
I love pink and sparkles.
And if you could meet anyone in history, living or dead, who would it be? Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, I love her.
Mm-hmm. Now you're not just saying that to turn me on. You're into her,
well,
huh?
Well, not like that.
No,
I
see.
I mean, she's, you know...
No, you think she'd be all
classic,
hopped up on drugs and Probably drooling and speaking gibberish.
No? You don't go.
Well,
you don't want to
think about that.
You don't look at the ladies. Only the fellas for you.
Well, as far as having anything serious, yeah.
I see. You'll dabble.
A little experimenting in college, but nothing.
Maybe.
I tell you, beautiful women love other beautiful women, and it is no crime in the eyes of God or society if you guys dabble a little.
Yeah? We do. I just got back from Hawaii, actually, for the international pageant. And it's just funny. All of the girls were just, oh, my God, I love your boobs, or I love your butt. I want your legs. And
these are all the Hawaiian Tropic girls?
Yes.
All getting naked in one cabana?
Exactly. It's craziness, but it's fun.
Oiled up.
It's fun. And
smell of PABA,
come check us out.
Cocoa butter in the air. Yeah, how do we check you out? Oh,
on Saturday,
yes
we have
that's
our pageant
right.
at the car show.
That's right.
So we'll have about 10 to 15 Hawaiian Tropic girls there competing.
I like Hawaiian Tropic girl, and I'll tell you why. Because it is a nice place, you know. Yeah, the stripper's a little raunchy. Playboy bunny is fine, but you don't want your old lady getting naked for the camera and having all your buddies bring it to work. Hawaiian Tropic, nice little resting stop in between secretary and prostitute.
Well, you also like a woman. You say lingerie versus bikini.
I think the bikini's the best.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that I think is hot. Tennis shoes with bikinis. Not the big stripper wedgies. I like the tennies.
We don't do the tennies too much.
You have to have an amazing body to look good
it's
in that.
It's not very flattering, yeah. Well, when you're wearing a bikini,
tell that
you want
to my junk,
to
sis. And when I say sis, I don't mean sis. That's weird. But you know what I'm saying. Toots. Tell that to my toots, toots.
Well, I guess everyone has their own preference.
No, you're not a tall woman.
No, I'm not at all.
You're
I'm
slight.
One of the short ones.
But you have yourself at least a double D rack, yes?
Actually, I'm only a C.
Only a C?
34 C, yeah.
Stand up. I don't believe that. I'm calling you a liar right now.
Yeah, she's so petite that it looks bigger in proportion to her size. Because look how tiny she is. She's like 5 foot.
Those cannot be real.
Well, I'm 5'3" and a half.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Are those store-bought boobs? Or?
Store? Yeah. I went shopping for them at the store.
Hey, listen. Smart.
She is precious.
Yeah. I'm infatuated myself. So what are you going to do? Are you into cars, or are you just going to prance around in a bikini?
Just going to prance around in a bikini.
Smart.
Is that how you compete, or do you have to actually do anything for Miss Hawaiian Tropic?
You do, actually. You have to compete at, you know, local competitions, state competitions, and depending on what pageant it is, you have some, they'll have a talent, you know, interview round, you know, promotions. It varies.
What would your talent be?
Actually, dance. I've been on a couple dance teams. That's my passion. That's what I love to do.
What kind of dance?
Jazz, hip-hop.
Hey, everybody, Jessica's got herself a C cup. Looks like a D load from here, but I tell you what, she's going to do a little popping and locking for you. Meanwhile, I got to do a little lock and pop in my trunks. Could you grin drop your lens? Come on, but Jade, stage 4.
Jessica and I don't like when you talk that way.
Yeah, she's not a stripper.
I'm not a stripper.
I'm sorry.
That's the worst thing ever.
I gotta say, I'm Pavlovian when I hear that music.
Take it back.
I'm sorry. I owe you an apology. Well, I'll give you a plug instead. Orange County Auto Show, that is Thursday through Sunday. Anaheim Convention Center, Miss Hawaiian Tropic Pageant. You and how many gals?
10 to 15 girls will be there Saturday from 4 to 6.
10 to 15, and the great Tom Likas will be presiding.
Yes, it'll be
good times. We'll be rooting for you, Jessica.
Over the proceeds.
Thank you.
All right, we need to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we got a new game to unveil. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is dynamite. We have caught lightning in a bottle. This Ozzy's peso pyramid.
Now, can callers play?
I think that's what we're going to need. It is the $20,000 pyramid done with Ozzy. I'll explain when we come back, but you don't want to miss this. And call in 866-901-ADAM if you want to play along. Jessica Rockwell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Orange County Auto Show this week and this weekend. We'll be right back after this.
to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. We're playing Oswaldo's Peso Pyramid. Adam's old buddy Oswaldo will give you the clues. You guess the category. First caller to get three categories in 1 minute wins. It's like the old $50,000 pyramid, but with a Nicaraguan guy on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, that explains it. Now, Teresa played the pyramid.
Yes.
She was the celebrity.
Shocking.
And we'll just give you a little snippet of that.
Who's going to give? Who's going to receive?
Teresa's going to give, and I'm going to receive.
All right, ladies, take your seats. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Here we go. Ready, go.
Chamomile, type of tea. Because I need water? What you doing? You have a cough. Why you have a cough? The city of Glasgow. Think in Scotland, Scottish thing.
All right. We get the idea. That's good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but we don't have much time, and I got to give away some Hooters gift certificates.
I know.
All you got to do is get three right in 1 minute. Let's.
Wait, we got an intro.
I know. I am not. Sarah?
Hi, sorry.
Easy, Brusca. Sarah, you ready to play?
Ready.
All right.
Es Osvaldo, Piso Pyramid.
Say peso.
Ironic. Ready to get started?
Ready.
You give the category. Oswaldo, give the clues. You got to get three right in 1 minute. Let's put 1 minute on the clock, and here we go.
A paratrooper, a motorcycle cop, football player, baseball player, construction worker. A paratrooper.
Sarah, you would venture a guess at this
football
point?
Football player.
Men have?
What's that?
Baseball player. Construction
worker. All right,
worker.
Hold on, you retard. Yell out some stupid things, would you? She should be guessing, right?
Correct. Sarah, any guesses?
No, screw Sarah. I'm tired of her. Sarah, you got to be yelling out. You got to be yelling out guesses, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't really understand them. Construction worker.
That's the funny part of it.
All right.
He's got an accent.
Let's try this again. Hey, Nico.
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
You want to play the pyramid?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll start. Just start at the top again. He'll give the clues. You guess the category. Here we go.
A paratrooper. A motorcycle cop.
People who wear helmets.
Yes. Next
bueno.
One.
Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your glasses.
Things on your face.
Yes.
Muy bueno.
Number three.
The ice cube tray. The freezer compartment.
Things in your fridge, in your freezer.
We got a winner.
All right.
Which team won?
Don't know how long that
Muy
took.
Bueno.
But it was under 1 minute?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Hold on a second. I got to shame Sarah. Sarah.
Yeah.
You get it now?
Yes.
All right.
Two.
All right. But. You know, in life, sometimes there's no second chances.
Oh.
Yeah, this is one of those times. Let's talk to Steve. Steve?
You
ready to play?
Heck yeah, Adam. Let's go.
Here we go, Ozzy.
Dirty Harry.
Who?
Police officer. Soldier. Terrorist. Bank robber. Rambo. Hunter.
Sylvester Stallone.
Dirty Harry. Police officer. Soldier, terrorist, bank robber, Rambo,
Clint Eastwood,
Hunter, Dirty Harry.
All right, I'm going to cut my losses with this tar,
police
too.
Police officer.
You should date Sarah. All right, let's try again. Here we go. Mike?
Yes, sir.
You ready to play?
Yep.
Let's put 1 minute on the clock, Brusca. Here we go.
Dirty Harry, police officer.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Muy bueno.
Next.
George Washington, Bill Clinton, George Bush.
Yes, president.
Muy bueno.
One more.
Your feet, your pants, your neck, your sock.
Things under your waist? Things that go on your legs?
Yeah.
Yes, there
bueno.
You go.
This guy's good. It took him 23 seconds.
Hold on. I got to shame Sarah again. Sarah?
Got those ones. Those were easy ones.
He did that in 20 seconds.
Easy one.
You did not venture one guess in what felt like an hour 45.
Hi. Some of the hard ones I got.
All right.
People who make excuses.
Sarah, what is Sarah? I feel bad, Sarah, so I'm going to give you another shot, all right?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Now listen up and venture some guesses here. Ozzy?
I promise.
Here we go.
Shark, fish, boat, submarine.
Do what?
Starfish.
Mouse.
Wallet. Dolphin. Shark. What?
Things you go on vacation.
Fish.
Fish.
Boat.
What?
Submarine. Uh-huh. Starfish.
The water, the ocean.
Yes.
Muy bueno.
Next one.
At half a minute, Sarah.
Eric Clapton. Jimi Hendrix.
He's a guitar player.
Yes. Yeah. Last one.
Comedian. Adam Carolla. Yo. Bein Ticklet. Sitcom.
Celebrities.
Comedian, Joe, Ben Ticklet, Adam Carolla.
Shows.
Ten seconds.
Comedian, Joe, Ben Ticklet, Adam Carolla.
No, sorry, Sarah. It's people that make you laugh. Although
One more clue, it is,
let's go ahead.
No day damage check.
I would argue that when you pronounce jokes, Joe, it makes it more difficult. But that's why we play the game. Ozzy, jokes.
Joe.
It ends with an S.
Joe. Jog.
Jokes.
Jog.
Jokes.
Jog.
Jog. Jokes.
Chistes.
Cheetahs?
Chistes.
Uh-oh.
Jokes.
Jokes.
There you go.
Jokes.
Jokes. All right. Well, poor Sarah. She got a tough hand.
She got two.
Tough
out of
draw
three.
There. Yeah, she got two.
Osvaldo Peso Pyramid.
Well done, Ozzy.
I feel like we got off to a rough start, then we got flowing again, and then I had to go back to Sarah.
So does that bit go into the freezer? For safekeeping?
You mean like
2009?
No, it's not going into the freezer, but it's not going to make it onto the relish tray either. Like, you know, the syrup go round at the IHOP? It's not going to make it onto that. I'm not going to put it down in the root cellar. I'm going to put it in the pantry, but on an upper shelf where the kids can't get to it.
You had high hopes.
I did. And I feel like there's some life in that old tortilla known as Oswaldo. I feel like we're going to bring this one back.
No Joe.
I liked it.
No Joe.
Exactly.
He is no yo, everybody. All right, Ozzy, nice work. Yeah, aren't you glad you got here at 6:10?
And brought everyone donuts and empanadas.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with What Have We Learned after this.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Your homeboy Jack Silver. Time to open the soup cooler and make with the funny. From Comedy Central, we got comedian Dimitri Martin in studio. Mr. Brightside with Tom Likas. Dave's Jerk List. And, of course, no boobs. What the hell? We gotta move the needle, peeps. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a few moments left, so we'll do a little segment called So What Have We Learned? We'll do more than three quickies. First, junior college, worse than no college. As you know, I'd like two more juniors put in front of junior college. Junior college. And I'm being easy on it, believe me.
Or just college junior. It's sort of.
Yeah, I like that better. Write that down in my head. Teresa has went through a buddy-breathing situation where a man mounted her, said he was going to give her a massage, instead dropped an A-bomb on her, farted into her fart tank.
Painful memory.
Sure. She belched it up later that evening.
That was even worse.
Sad. The three greatest white men of all time, Kevin Bacon, Steve Largent, John Stockton. Those are who we cling to. And last but not least, at my funeral, I went the old Dion song. Abraham, Martin, and John changed to Adam, Adam, and Adam. Thank you.
Good times.
Well, got a big show planned for you tomorrow, but I want to thank Tariq for coming in here today. Oh, so he was an hour late. Who can complain? Tariq, King Flex, Nasheed. Website, kingflex.org. And, of course, Jessica Rockwell, going to be at the Orange County Auto Show. Nobody knows four wheels like Jessica. I tell you, a bit of a gearhead. I spoke to her off the air. Started talking about using a feeler gauge to go ahead and gap some points and then go ahead and gap some spark plugs. I got lost for a while when she started talking about slave cylinders and throw-out bearings. I just nodded and smiled and tried to look good. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.